The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Thursday Night Destruction, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Pro Wrestling 101, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way to do so is to leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you buy anything from Amazon, go to ShiningWizards.com and click on the Amazon button. Doesn't cost a thing, but a percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you're interested in putting our logo on your chest, go over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and buy one of our logo shirts. Or if you feel like buying a Shining Wizards Network shirt or any other designs that we've come up with, go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Become our friend on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Come check us out on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Or send us some hate mail, WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. We hope you enjoyed tonight's program, and thanks for your continued support.
Hey, this is Scott Keith, formerly the Net Cop, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live on tape in Studio A for another exciting edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, wrestling talk.
The talk about wrestling.
Ooh, I like that. I'm Tony.
I'm Matt.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Adam.
The voice you just heard, that Adam, is my good friend, stand-up comedian Adam Lucidi. Who will be... give it up. Yeah, clap for Adam.
Woo, Adam.
Normally when we have a wrestler on, we give him, as Matt would say, a smattering of applause.
That's it.
Smattering. It's a good one.
Yeah, so Adam, we asked Adam to come on the show tonight. He's a huge wrestling fan, has been for a while. He live Raw tweets, probably the most hysterical tweets on the Twitter that I've ever seen.
Well, thank you.
Yep, and this Thursday night, Adam will be on the TV, guys. Did you know that?
He's on the telly.
I heard a little rumor.
That he will be making his stand-up comedy television debut, long overdue, in my opinion, on Axis TV Gotham Live, Thursday night at 10 o'clock on Axis TV. Check your local listings and your cable provider for the channel. Adam, thanks for coming here tonight, man.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're excited?
I'm very excited. I love this studio. I'm in like heaven. Do your listeners know like all of the trinkets and the magic that is here with the consoles and everything?
I thought you were talking about me.
Well, you guys too.
I'm magic.
He was very impressed with all the video games and DVDs and stuff that you have floating around here.
Well, we do what we can.
Yeah.
Adam, can I ask you a question? Is it hot in here?
No, it's just okay. You.
You know what? I can open the vents if you guys can entertain yourselves for a minute.
I think we can entertain ourselves.
Yeah, man. We're going to talk to Adam a little bit about his live Raw tweeting. Adam, dude, you're pretty popular on the old Twitter box, man.
It's, yeah. Not with other comedians, though. Other comedians hate it. And a lot of, like, people that...
Because we're jealous. It's all because we're jealous.
No, everyone's just like, why are you always clogging up my feed on Mondays? And it's just, you know.
Hey, listen, they can all kick rocks, as Stephen A. Smith would say, because WWE retweets you.
Yeah, that's weird. And I don't even follow them. And they don't follow me.
What did they retweet last night?
Last night, I said at the beginning of Raw, I said that Raw is in Brooklyn and The Rock is in NYC. And if you think that The Rock is going to jump on the NQR train, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. And then lo and behold, that asshole does show up. And I was like, I wonder if Dean Ambrose passed The Rock on the NQR train.
There it is.
They retweeted that for some reason.
That's incredible. The best one ever, though, is that I saw last night, because I'm trying to follow in his footsteps with live Raw tweets. I got to – that one got like 68 retweets and over 100 favorites, right? Something
the
like
Dean
that.
Ambrose one?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I get – my live Raw tweets, I got 12 retweets. Ah, how about that?
You
and seven.
You just gotta keep going.
Yeah. See, he's my motivation. Every time, like, we're texting and we're tweeting at the same time, he gets like 1,000 like favorites and retweets. I get like 4, and I just text him, "I'm quitting live Raw tweeting."
Well, before when I first started, like when everybody hated it, I only had like 12 followers to do it to that actually enjoyed it, and then it just slowly but surely like grew more and more.
Right. So that I'm telling you right now, follow him on Twitter at Adam Lucidi. That's L-U-C-I-D-I. Dude's hysterical. He will be, like I said, on Axis TV. We're going to talk some wrestling today, Adam.
I think I'm having a stroke.
Oh,
relax,
God.
Dude. The
it's fucking hot down here, dude.
Want to lick my balls?
What?
No, it has nothing to do with being hot or cold. I'm just
holy
lonely.
Shit. Adam, are you going to wear our T-shirt on TV?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm not allowed. I can't wear logos. I can't wear stripes.
See, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, that sucks because that's TV's pretty
shady.
Much all of my shirts.
There's logos and.
Fun fact, though, Gallagher is.
Oh,
be
I forgot
the
to mention that.
That's fucking awesome.
When I saw that, I went, that's bizarre. And, I didn't know he was still alive. So I'm very excited to see how he looks.
Gallagher.
Every time I think of Gallagher, I always think of his bit, the fuzzy top.
Which one's that? Do you know what that is? I don't
the
know
toilet
that
bowl cover. He's yeah. like, uh-huh. Women love the fuzzy top. That, and fucking like, when I was like 13 on VH1, they always showed the Gallagher special where he had the big fucking couch that was a trampoline. And he was pulling out like giant toothbrushes mm-hmm. and potato chips and shit.
But someone told me it might be Gallagher 2.
Oh.
If it's Gallagher 2, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, that's a ripoff.
How would you know?
I don't know.
Is that his brother?
Yeah, his brother, I guess, like bought the name and
I heard
his
they don't
act
get along
or something.
Either.
Yeah.
Why would they?
Well, he fucking ripped off his brother's whole gimmick.
Well, if he bought it from him, that's like you buying the Patriot gimmick from the Patriot.
Ooh. Tom Brandy.
I hope it ends up being like 2 Undertakers on TV. It's going to be Gallagher and Gallagher 2.
Gallagher and Brian Lee.
Yeah, like Gallagher 2 starts, and then Gallagher shows up and just like.
Yeah.
Managed
except
by
one's
Leslie
wearing
Nielsen.
Purple and the other wearing gray.
Yeah. That was great, man. But, yeah, so Gallagher. Fuck, dude.
Fuck, man.
That's pretty cool.
I wish I could go. Gotta be bartending.
Can I tell
we
you?
We are doing a show tomorrow night together, though, in New York City.
Oh,
nice.
Go ahead. Plug away. I'm sorry.
Where's it? On Essex Street in New York City?
Old Man Hustle.
Old Man Hustle.
The place looks like the green room of the fucking Muppet Theater. It's bizarre.
I'm really excited.
That sounds awesome.
I'm excited about
that. It's the weirdest looking place ever.
I'm excited about this show.
You should be. It's
have fun. You ever worked with this guy who just had a Comedy Central special, Yannis Pappas?
Yeah.
Is,
I love Yannis.
Is he good?
Mm-hmm.
I know he's good funny wise. Have you worked with him before?
Yeah,
very excited about that show. Me and Adam will be on that tomorrow night.
He just moved back from Florida. He was down in Florida doing some kind of TV show, and then I guess he just moved back to
Cities where it's at.
It's too hot in here.
All right, it is too hot in here. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I'll take this opportunity. You're a douchebag. Good job, Dick. Matt's breaking the studio bit by bit. You're both idiots. I hate you both. You know what? It's going to be story time with Tony because I've got a little story to tell everyone.
I just want to thank Drew Gulak for
sending
me and Kevin T-shirts. He also sent one for Eddie. It's in the car. I don't know about you, but
so thank you, Drew, for the shirts.
Yeah, thank you, Drew. Very nice gentleman. I don't know why Tony has such a problem with him, but as Tony would say, I digress.
I want one, Drew.
Adam wants one. Take Eddie's.
Do you wear a medium?
He does wear
a
medium.
I actually do, yeah.
All right. I'll set something up. Drew's a good guy.
Oh, yeah. The best. I want to tell you a story.
I thought I was just no-selling it.
I want to tell you a story, and this story is very important to me, and I think everybody's going to learn a valuable life lesson.
Oh, boy.
There was a girl that I knew. She...
had AIDS.
Close.
Okay.
God smacked her. God besmirched her with an awful condition when she was born.
So now you feel like a dick.
Let's just call her Slow, and we'll leave it at that. And this girl, God bless her heart, she worked her way through the world. She went to school. She got herself a job at Wendy's.
Nice.
And she worked the drive-through at Wendy's. And she worked there every day. She got in trouble a few times with the manager because she couldn't count the pennies right. And some days she was a little over, and some days she was a little under. But anybody that ever worked in fast food or at a supermarket
or a bar,
know, yeah, they'll know that that, you know, sometimes happens. And, you know, but God bless her. She showed up for work every day. And I remember I used to go and I used to pull up to the drive-through window and give her my order. And she'd say, thank you, pull up to the window. And I'd drive up to the window and she said, hi, how are you? She'd tell me how much I owe. And I'd give her the money. And she'd take the money. She'd give me my change. She'd hand me my soda, sometimes a Frosty if I wanted to treat myself.
Jesus, fuck, Tony.
It's a sweet treat. Do you dip your fries in your Frosty?
Yeah, of course I did, dude. Of course.
Then we can continue this conversation.
That's what made it so much more magical. And she'd give me my food, and she'd tell me, you have a nice day. I'm like, thanks, you too. And I'd drive away, and I'd have all my food. And sometimes she may forget the nuggets. I'd have to go back. But no big deal. She said, I'm sorry, and she'd give me the nuggets. Let me tell you all the things that she wouldn't do. She wouldn't take my money, make me wait in the drive-thru for a year, and tell me, come fight me for your fucking food. She wouldn't have the balls to give people I know free shit and turn around and flip me the proverbial bird.
You're still talking about
Drew. And tell me, come to my house and take it from me. You know why? Because people don't do that. We sell t-shirts online. We've sold t-shirts for a cause that Kevin himself has helped us champion. It's affected him personally. And you know what's going to happen when we get those shirts next week?
What?
We're mailing them to the people that sent us money to support our cause. And you know what? I wanted to support the Better Combat Zone cause, Drew Gulak. I was the one that stood up for you when Danny Havoc told you you were nothing but a bum. And I sit here tonight, and Kevin is wearing a Drew Gulak shirt. And I look to my right, and Matthew's wearing a Drew Gulak shirt. And if Adam plays his cards right, he's going to walk out of here with a Drew Gulak shirt tonight. And you know what I get? Where is it? Did I throw it out already? Can I show Adam what you idiots gave me last week? You know what? I probably threw it in the garbage already.
No, you were supposed... That was in a frame.
That's a wall of fame. I had to go to my dad's job and get a frame for that picture.
You mean Drew Gulak wasn't even nice enough to frame it for you?
He doesn't carry frames
on him. Fucking carries around frames with them.
You want to talk about bad business, my friend? Drew Gulak, that's bad business.
Give you a free 8x10. How's that bad?
He said thanks for the support on it, too.
I don't know where I should be sitting on this. Should I be a tweener? I don't know. Should I be pro Gulak?
Let me ask you this.
Or anti.
If you went to, say, Home Depot, and you really needed to buy a new wrench.
Okay.
And you walked up to the register with a wrench, and you gave the lady your credit card, and she ran your credit card, and you said, can I have my wrench? She said, fuck you. And she threw the wrench back on the shelf. And she said, you want that wrench? You fight me for that wrench.
Well, that's definitely a different way of currency. I've never heard that kind of currency ever, where you go and use your money, and then it goes back on the shelf.
You have to fight somebody to get it. It's like some
Mortal
Kombat.
Oh, you have to legit fight this guy?
Dude, it's like Mortal Kombat. You put your quarter in the machine, and then all you have to do, is fighting people.
Are the shirts nice?
Yeah, they're very nice. Feel that.
Yeah, and they look fantastic.
It's a nice fabric.
Adam,
I'd fight him for that kind of shirt.
The backstory on this is that he ordered a shirt from this guy, Drew Gulak, great wrestler.
One year ago. Over a year ago.
He has yet to send the shirt.
But did you two wear the shirts tonight as a statement to fire him up?
No, that's his statement. This is his statement.
You two wearing them. Did you do this to fire him up?
You see, this is what I have to deal with. I'm a man on an island.
Maybe. But he gave us the shirts because he's been ripping on him for not giving him the shirt over the last year. So Drew Gulak was like, fuck this. I'm not going to give him a shirt. I'll give him a signed 8x10 saying, thanks for the support, you fucking dick, or something like that.
No, he didn't write you fucking dick.
No, that's what he meant.
He personally addressed the autograph to Tony.
And then today, we got our shirts today. We ordered them and we got them.
And
Tony,
he lied.
How long ago did you get them?
I got them yesterday.
No, I mean order them. How long?
Oh, last week.
Last week.
Oh.
Dickheads.
Maybe you just got lost.
Yeah, you know what? Everything I sent to him got lost. My emails, my receipts, my text messages, my Facebook messages.
Oh, so you have direct contact with this guy,
no,
too.
No, it's been all me writing to him and him not answering me.
You know, he did call the show last week and say he sent you his shirt.
Oh, gee, I'm starting to wonder about that one.
What?
We have another wrestling manager in our midst? Who? Are you representing Mr. Gulak now?
No.
No, this is...
He texted me.
This is real.
Text me and he said, can I call the show? And I said, sure, when? He said, are you recording? And I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to call now.
This is what I have to put up with.
And I said,
you figure
okay.
My boys would have my back. Listen, but apparently,
and they're storming around in Gulak shirts.
Exactly.
Is it Gulak, Gulak?
It's Gulak.
It's Gulak.
Gulak. I go yeah. Ack.
I'm with him.
Ack,
fucking
ack,
dick.
Ack. Thank you, Adam.
Oh, so
but
oh,
still,
maybe you
still
could be like
one of those
a,
shirts.
So
yeah, but I still want one. I still want one of those shirts.
You were
how
saying?
Mad would you be if I end up getting a shirt before you, and I've just found out about this guy tonight?
I think it would be hysterical that you know nothing about Drew Gulak and you get his shirt.
He's earned it.
Find him on Tinder. Is he on Tinder?
You know what? I bet you if you take the shirt, he's going to send another one for Eddie. Eddie got really fat, Drew. He wears an XL now.
Man.
Well, that's not going
to
work?
I don't know. People were clamoring on the Twitter and Facebook to see what your response was going to be.
Then there it was. He
There's
talked
my
about
response.
A Down syndrome Wendy's fucking
there you go.
Cashier.
I want my shirt.
So Drew,
yeah, the real
it's
thing about-
good business for a better Shining Wizards Theater studio, whatever.
Talk about podcast.
It
podcast.
Is a beautiful studio.
Shining Wizards brand. Send us, send me my shirt.
Because we got ours
yeah,
already.
Yeah, I understand.
Me and Matt have ours.
We'll take
Adam,
a nice
Adam,
picture.
Adam might have one, too.
You know what? We need to bring the funny. Can I play last week's calls?
Oh, I was, no, I just something? Had I just oh, had sure. a quick question. Yeah, with yeah. your original story with the Wendy's girl, do you really not go back for the nuggets when they're not in there?
Oh, no, I told you I did.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, she, and she
as soon as you said that, I was like, that's fucking out of control.
No, that's...
You go back.
That's good business. I go back, and she says, I apologize. Here you go.
Is that how she talks?
No.
Dude, no, I can't do it.
That is best for business.
That's a beautiful story
that
I told,
is best
dude.
For business.
It was a I liked the story. I didn't know where you were going.
It
with
took
it.
A while to get there.
But it was beautiful.
It was a nice M. Night Shyamalan twist.
No, that's a Dusty Rhodes Hard Times kind of promo right
oh,
there.
Oh yeah, Hard Times.
Exactly.
Great talk.
Adam, you have like a accent. Are you
yeah,
you're not
it's a
from
Pittsburgh?
Mm-mm. Pittsburgh? Oh,
yeah,
okay. I like Pittsburgh.
A lot of people think I'm from the South whenever they hear it, but yeah, it's Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Listen, like everything twang. Past Harrisburg is the South. Until you get to California.
Yeah,
everything's like, yo, bro.
But you're not really from Pittsburgh. You're from a
no,
town?
I'm from Uniontown. It's southwest of Pittsburgh. It's like 20 minutes away from West Virginia. So it's even a little bit further.
Oh. Yeehaw!
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of, you're so UT, right?
You know about
so
the whites?
The wild, wonderful whites of West Virginia? Yes, I do.
All right.
do we want to talk about Mammy White sent me a picture. She sent
that.
Me a picture. I got it 2 weeks.
Did you buy a shirt from Mammy White?
No, but she sent me a free bumper sticker.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Maybe wow. This guy ought to take some model off of Mammy White. The biggest, the meanest, and the baddest.
Yeah, I'm in.
Who's
Have
Mammy
you ever
White?
Seen that fucking... Oh. You ever saw that documentary?
Whoa.
No.
Ooh,
you want to watch Magic, you watch The Wild, Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. I think they just took it off Netflix, too. I'm pissed, but luckily I got it on DVD.
Oh, there you go.
I have no idea what it is.
Is that the one that Johnny Knoxville did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, you got to check that out, bro.
All right.
It's a good laugh.
I'll take your word for
you
it.
You got tears. You got laughter. It's drugs.
Everything. Incest.
Ooh. Missing teeth.
Not teeth. Necessarily in that order.
Tap dancing hillbillies. What else do you fucking need?
Exactly.
A Drew Gulak shirt.
Goddamn.
We have Yuha Nation as a guest tonight too.
Holy shit! 18 minutes in, we didn't even mention that.
Well, we
par for the course.
Adam's in studio. We
I
have
understand.
To. We have to be proper with him, and then
you gotta be proper. You can throw
proper.
Shots.
What are we serving him? Tea and crumpets.
It was hot in here, but then we
yeah.
Well, now we're
is
cool.
that why you were doing that? You're such a fucking idiot.
We had a game plan. Don't hate.
You're gay. You're fucking gay.
I knew what they were doing.
See, Adam doesn't have the headset on, so he couldn't hear them. We have sound bites, Adam. But
have you ever listened to our podcast?
Yes, he has.
Oh, here we go.
Yes,
yeah,
he has.
I've never heard the echo from my own voice into these headphones.
Oh, it's creepy, right?
It is.
It's bizarre. But we have some nice sound bites. All right, what do we got?
Do you want to do the phone calls?
Yeah.
We can laugh over them?
Okay.
I'll give Adam, because we just started doing this. We leave the phone lines open all the time for people to leave voicemails. Like, what'd you think of Raw? What'd you think of Impact? What'd you think of this? And the ones we got last week when we aired them for the first time were freaking hysterical. So we're going to go ahead and...
We got a lot of good ones. We actually get some actual wrestlers call in.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you'll hear him when I play him.
Oh, boy.
But first, the man that gave us the inspiration for this, I'm going to open it up with Baza. And you can hear just what a drunk Brit sounds like at 4 in the morning when he's calling his favorite
wrestling podcast. He did this again?
No, you guys didn't play him last week.
Yeah, we did.
No, I like how you say it. He did this again like a crazy drunk ex-girlfriend.
Oh, he called back a few times. You'll hear him. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines.
Answer the phone, you fucking American cunts. You're gay. You're fucking gay. You fucking bunch of homos. Why don't you answer the phone?
Turn it up.
I'm calling from fucking England, motherfucker. What you think you're doing, motherfucker?
Oh, Bazza. Oh.
You're fucking gay.
Wait, there's more.
You fucking fag. Homo wants to put a cheese stick in Tony's fucking fat ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Howard Nichol, going up to speak with the Shining Wizard.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brett the Beatman Hart calling to say that I really like the Shining Wizards podcast. You know, my brother Owen probably would have been a guest on this show. And that's it. I'm the best. I'm not good at promos or leaving a voicemail.
That voice sounds so familiar.
Hi, this is The Undertaker, Mark Calloway. I'm just calling up to speak to the Shining Wizards. Yeah. But I guess I have to rest in peace.
Sir, I'm calling to talk about the Impact Wrestling. Sir,
is this me?
Sir, let's talk about Impact. Samoa Joe and Austin Aries wrestled because it's 2005. Star, good match. Rockstar, Bud's a good guy. Sorry, don't matter. That's fine. Havoc beat Gail Kim, but they don't matter because they already took the belt off her. Spoiler alert. Sir, Manic was there. He beat Shark Boy because, yep. That happened, I don't know. MVP defeated Mr. Anderson in the Battle of the Who Give a Fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck at all about that shit. Bobby Roode talked. I feel bad, but Bobby Roode wasted his prime in TNA when he could have went to WWE for a cheap amount of money, worked his butt to the top, and then been a star. But no, now he's on a non-existent wrestling TV show. There's TNA. There you go. That's what happened in there. don't care about it. Fucking fuck it.
There's only a little bit more. Holy shit.
Well, sorry to admit that before. Shining Wizards, Tony. Tony, this is your cousin. We met over in España when you were here or there this week. You left one of your T-shirts in Portugal. I hope you'll come over and pick it up. It was a Halloween T-shirt with a jack-o'-lantern. He had a face carved out of it. It looked like it was made for blowjobs. I'm pretty sure you made a glory hole out of a fucking pumpkin, you sick fuck. I love all of you guys. Anyway, they should totally feature the bunny more on Monday Night Raw. You know what I'm saying? Hi, this message is just for Shining Wizards. This is I just want to let you know I'm a huge fan of the show. Huge fan. Not as big a fan as I am of the bunny that comes out with Adam Rose. I felt he was underutilized. I felt he was underutilized this week. And you might remember me from last week when I called. I was killing my family in the garage. And I didn't go so well because we have a Honda Fit, which is one of those eco-friendly cars, and it just took forever. Nobody was dying. I mean, we listened to two or three podcasts a year while we were doing it, and we get all the way from Otunga Bunga all the way to current podcasts. So,
wow.
I mean, it just wasn't going how we wanted it to. Anyway, so my next method was to kill myself with a shotgun that I purchased from Walmart, and unfortunately, I was only able to purchase a birdshot.
ammunition. So really all that did was give me a severe sore throat. And I look like a 14-year-old with pimples on the side of my left cheek. Anyway, I really do love the show. Obviously, my favorite is Shining Wizards, Kevin. I just feel like if I've forgotten him, I'd kill him because I love him.
Is that KP?
I don't know.
KP Burke. Could have been KP Burke.
Okay.
How awesome was that?
Holy shit.
There was nothing to cut out. They were all great.
They're all good.
You had a shirt with a jack-o'-lantern?
The first guy sounded like every person that is on Xbox Live whenever they're yelling at me. It's every Xbox Live player ever.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess. It sounds like TNA was covered, but I actually did.
Yeah, that was our TNA report in the email. Right there, or the voicemail.
I have a couple TNA things I'd like to talk about. If
Adam, do you watch the?
I don't have the fucking patience for TNA.
Right. Well, I'm sure you.
How do you sit through Raw, but you don't? Have
I know.
The patience
I know.
TNA.
It's terrible for me to say. I just don't have the patience for it. Plus, right. it's on Wednesdays.
Yeah,
now, right?
We're busy. We're very busy people.
It's
but
on Wednesdays.
All right. So I watched Impact.
Okay.
A couple things. I had a couple problems. There's a couple highlights. Last week we spoke, me and Kevin, Aries, one is fucking Road to the Gold or whatever the fuck
it's
he's
like
doing.
They're Money in the Bank, but they could like choose any championship they want to cash it in on.
So the show starts and Aries comes out and he cuts a promo and he goes, I'm going to let the fans decide who I'm going to defend the title against. And he goes through all the fucking champs. And before he can even get to Bobby Lashley, out comes your X Division champ, Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe reads him some, well, I'm the best wrestler in the company, and you're the best wrestler in the company, so just throw away that shot at championship gold and wrestle me for a useless fucking title.
Right.
And Austin Aries says, okay.
He's like, you talked me into it.
There it is. You're very convincing, Samoa Joe.
It annoyed me because of everything that Austin Aries has done up until this point. It's always been to get back to that title.
Right. Like we talked about this last week, how where he invented the plan C about when you're the X Division champion and you could cash in your X Division. Like, if you're the X Division champion and you win, like, whatever this is, I'm not sure if this is the same
Ultimate
thing.
Ultimate X?
Pink Lemonade. Thanks, Tone. And you could, like, cash. You could either say, hey, here's my X Division championship. Give me a shot at the world championship. So, it makes no sense why Austin Aries, when he would give up the title that he's now challenging for a year ago to be the world champion.
Well, he gave it up like a month and a half ago, too.
It makes no sense why he would want anything other than the world championship, it's especially when he invented the term Plan C.
It's because it's TNA. So that fucking annoyed. It was a great match, but it fucking annoyed the shit out of me.
Wait,
stupid.
But you know what that reminded me of? Remember when
a Wendy's employee?
When Low-Key was in WWF and he won Tough Enough? And he was supposed to get a championship match against whoever he wanted. And he took an intercontinental match.
With Dolph?
Yes, and it wound up being his last match ever. And he wound up
Survivor Series, right?
Was it on pay-per-view? I thought it was on
Caval.
Like,
that was his name.
Yeah, I thought it was on some random SmackDown.
It could have been.
Maybe they had a rematch. It was he had a Survivor Series match against Dolph.
They were just trying to get him out. Like, he was, like, done. He was like,
well,
I'm
then they paired him with MVP. I don't know if you remember that. Him and MVP were a team for a while, too, towards the end of his run. But all right.
And lay cool for a while.
And lay cool. Yeah.
There's EC3 and Spud. There's trouble in the family, and fucking EC3 is making fun of him, and he slaps him. And
I would love to be part of that family.
He wants Spud to cry for him, and then Eric Young
comes
down.
You just
want to
fuck Dixie Carter.
Oh, yes, I do.
That's your fucking tweet today, by the way. Can we talk about your creepy obsession with Dixie Carter?
I tried to get some retweets. Jesus. I tried to get some retweets for the Shining Wizards by wishing Dixie a happy birthday, sweetness.
Ugh.
Isn't that what I called her, sweetness?
You called her sweetie.
Do you know?
That's not bad.
That's what Southern chicks like, bro.
You're familiar with Dixie Carter.
I know, yeah.
What's your opinion on Dixie? Because he's obsessed with her. I would. I don't think we all would. But
I
he's
would.
Like,
but
he's obsessed
like,
to like a level that
I would
unheard
put,
of.
I would put a lot of effort into that. I
really?
Wouldn't just, be like, of course, dude. It's Dixie Carter. Why not?
Adam, how much effort would you...
I don't think I'd have to put that much effort in, but I would put some effort in, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'd put in enough effort. Mm-hmm. I definitely would.
Well, you wouldn't want to put in more, I mean.
But, I mean, I'm not going as far as the wishing her happy birthday, sweetie, on Twitter.
Well, because maybe you have...
That's a lot of effort.
Maybe you have... Well, I mean, you get 1,000 retweets on your tweets. What do we get on ours? Like 40?
Yeah, you know, something like that.
We could
no
use
one's
the
fucking retweeting that.
Maybe Dixie Carter is. May.
Exactly. Everyone wants her to fucking La Bamba herself.
Let me give you an example. My kid took a picture with Brodus Clay at the last PWS show.
Did he smile?
Yes. Dude, that was the thing. Give me an aside for a second. I'm sorry. Right. I know I'm going to go off on a tangent. I know everybody had their problems with Brodus. When I went over to talk to him, dude, he was nothing but nice to me. We actually had a conversation. He seemed like interested in what we were talking about. My kid went over, took a picture with him, gave him a high five. Dude, we came back with a Shining Wizard shirt for him because he did the show too. Dude, at intermission, somebody sent pictures around. He was wearing the shirt. How cool is that?
He put it on backstage.
On top of that, I tweeted him. He asked me to tweet me the picture of him with my kid. So I tweeted it to him, and I was like, my little man met Brodus Clay. It meant the world to him because my kid is a huge Brodus Clay fan.
Yeah.
Retweeted it to 200,000 followers. Dude, I got like 20 new followers out of that.
Yeah.
People retweeted it and favorited it like everywhere. There had to be 100 retweets.
They're all fucking kid touchers.
That's how the Twitter machine works, right, Adam?
I don't care about the how. I care about the how much.
Fair enough. I'm with you on
that.
And
the Dixie Carter. And the Dixie Carter.
I'm just saying I put effort in, bro. She's not a bad old lady.
Hmm.
But there's so
She's
many...
no Mammy White.
Exactly. Oh,
right? I don't know.
No,
all right, Dixie or Angelina White. Love?
Angelina Love.
Oh!
I don't understand
That's what I could say to you. I don't understand.
I agree to disagree.
Yeah, but at least Angelina Love's eyes are both focused straight ahead. She doesn't have one looking out the fucking left field.
Well, maybe if Angelina Love did have one looking out the left field, she could actually see what she looks like.
Fucking Dixie Carter, if you're behind her and you fucking smush her head down, she's the old fisheye and it looks at you.
What if you did a side-by-side with her and Shawn Michaels? Would they look exactly the same?
They could look right at each other.
His are merging into one eye. His eyes are getting closer and closer together.
That's true.
Yeah, like he had like it's a little kid that crossed his eyes for too long.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
He's slowly turning into a Cyclops. I think the latest update was, I think it was 98.7% complete. So we're almost there, guys.
He could reinvent himself.
Dude, a Cyclops,
a whole new gimmick.
That sounds like something that would be on South Park.
They could call him
Cyclops Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Eichels.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. I like that.
Put that on a shirt.
There you go.
You're good with the puns.
Pew, pew.
Oh, I have a shirt idea for later.
All right. Drew Gulak for a better combat zone? We might as well sell them ourselves.
Drew Gulak for a better Shining Wizards podcast. Jesus.
He would definitely get one if we sold them ourselves. All right, so what else do you have on Impact?
Jessica Havoc was supposed to wrestle Gail Kim, and they brawled outside, and Jessica Havoc annihilated Gail Kim, beat the shit out of her.
Anally?
Yes.
Okay.
It was sexy.
All right.
I told Kevin in the car ride down, it's the first time I've ever been interested in something that the Knockouts have done.
Dude, this
TNA.
Guy is the biggest misogynist when it comes to women's wrestling. Fucking hates
whoa,
it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's true.
I hate the Divas and the Knockouts.
Fair enough.
WSU show?
Fair enough.
I enjoyed myself.
Fair enough.
Because you had a crush on Alpha Female.
All right. Alpha Female's hot, first of all.
Oh, here we go.
Got to show you a picture of Alpha Female, Adam. All right. She's a nice. Monster. She's attractive, but she's a monster.
She's slimming down, dude.
If you really want to get disgusted with Matt, go back into our archives and listen to his interview with Alpha Female.
And that's why I invited him here, to get disgusting with Matt.
The first thing is, usually when we Skype, it's just audio. These two were staring at each other for an hour and a half.
Oh, she wanted the fucking picture. It was cool. It was
she
weird.
She wanted the picture.
It was
Matt's
weird.
In his loincloth.
He's all Otunga-bunga'd out.
Exactly. I was just about to say, was it Otunga-bunga?
Don't forget my Serena Deeb thing, too.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Oh,
remember
fuck.
Serena Deeb?
I'm getting too comfortable.
From the CM Punk?
This is Matt's.
Remember?
This is Matt when he gets off the phone with Serena.
All righty.
Oh, you don't have your headphones on.
All righty.
That's our soundbite from
Matt.
You remember Serena Deeb was this in CM Punk Straight Edge Society?
Oh, yeah.
So Matt is in love with her. Matt's in love with everyone.
She was pretty good at rookin'.
She's hot.
Yeah. And the only one Matt was angry at was Veda Scott because she was just like, yeah, I can't deal with you.
That was a tough interview.
That was a tough interview. She
probably thought you were just a fanboy and just like, oh, I got to deal with this shit.
Just trying to promote Smash Wrestling.
I didn't even.
Friends to the North, Smash Hyper Wrestling.
I tried to write the press release for that. I couldn't get through it. It was so bad. I couldn't do
there's
it.
There's a lot. I did a lot of interviews that are fucking bad.
No, dude, Trip Cassidy's the best.
No, that interview fucking sucked. That dick was like asleep.
Jesus.
Fuck him. I hope I have bay of hail crushed him. Fucking
a
asshole.
A bay of hail?
A bay of hail or
a hay, hay bale? Fuck.
A bale of hay.
Well, good news is, Adam, it's not the seat. It's me. whatever.
Jeez. All right.
Fucking impact.
Can we name some of your bad interviews? This is fun.
We could. Matt Classic.
Oh, that was the next name that came to mind.
And not Colt Cabana, Matt Classic. Some fucking guy in like AIWF, North Carolina.
Which one did we have that you and me were both stumbling all over our words?
Saban?
Yeah, Saban. That wasn't bad though, right? It was pretty
no,
bad.
No, that wasn't bad. Right. As much as I liked him, the Mr. Touchdown interview I did with him.
His problem was he kept going in and out of character.
That was
he
hard.
Didn't know if he wanted to be Mr. Touchdown or Mark Angel, you know?
And the one last week we did wasn't all that great either.
Buku Dao?
Yeah.
So he was fucking dry. I didn't know if he was in he was a good guest.
Yeah, no,
he was
absolutely
funny. I didn't know if he was in gimmick though. I don't know what was he was driving
yeah.
in practice. That was an interesting one too.
Yeah, so we have a few. They're not all gems, Adam, as you know in the comedy world.
Yeah. Sometimes they're bays of hail.
There you go. Bays of hail.
That's a callback.
I think that's the name of the episode.
Thank you, Adam.
It's either that or fucking Shawn Michaels the Cyclops.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Well, Shawn Michaels Cyclops is good too.
Shawn Eichels?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So we have two.
So fucking let me finish Stupid Impact before Yuha Nation calls. Gail Kim gets beat up. She can't fight, so they take her to the back. The Wolves and the Hardys and the Dudley Boys cut a promo, and then they all fight. And then the fans, they chant TLC, and then they decide they're going to do a Full Metal Mayhem match. Manic wrestles Shark Boy, and the announcers just make fun of Shark Boy, which really hurts the credibility of Manic when he beats him.
Dude,
I thought.
If there's one thing about wrestling as a whole, not just WWE and TNA, just like both of them combined, it's the fucking announcing.
I hate that.
He was like, he had him in the.
We'll talk about that. You know, maybe that's a topic for later. Talk about announcing.
Okay.
But anyway,
he had him in the corner. He was doing the old 10 count punch, but he got to like 7 and the announcer was like, is he going to make it to 10? Oh, and he got like all winded and he couldn't do it. I was like, this is fucking dumb.
What, Shark Boy was getting all winded?
Yes.
But he's a shark. He's not used to being out of water.
Yeah, but he's like
often.
Stone Cold Steve Austin Shark.
Oh, he's still doing that shit?
Yes.
Where he puts the vest on and still does the D'Lo Brown head shake and all that nonsense?
Yeah. It really hurt because I like the direction they're going with James Storm and Manic and Sonata.
I do too.
And I was just like, ugh, at least give him a fucking decent opponent that he could fucking beat.
Well, you know what? That to their credit, I've always thought that instead of having him just beat some random jobber, bringing in an old-time guy just for a match, so like he has name value, so when you beat him, it's still kind of... But when the announcer... Like, I always thought they should do this on Raw. Instead of just having like squash matches with your talent on the roster, bring a guy back that has name value and then have the guy squash that guy. And like, so like, I don't hate the move of Shark Boy, but when you completely undervalue him and discredit him like the announcers apparently did, it just doesn't help anyone. Doesn't get the guy that you want to get over, and it doesn't do any favors for a talent that's been loyal to your company for a long time. So
yeah, it didn't jive with me. I wasn't digging it.
Fair enough.
As our caller said, MVP beat Mr. Anderson in the Who Gives a Fuck match.
Yep.
Bobby Roode called out Bobby Lashley. He wants
so
a title shot. I do. Bobby Lashley's a bitch, first of all. All right? I don't give a fuck. This is 3 weeks in a row now. Bobby Lashley. Shining Wizards Matt. 1 minute in a cage. I can avoid you for a minute. All right?
That's what he thinks.
Fat tits over here. He wants to fight Drew Gulak for a t-shirt. I just want to avoid you for a minute. We'll raise a ton of money for charity. Little fucking black kids. I don't give a shit who we give the money to. We'll give it to little black kids. We'll give it to penis cancer. Whatever you want to do. We'll fucking buy you new MMA gear. I can avoid you for a minute. Easy.
Do you think that he'd be able to, Adam, do you think he'd be able to avoid?
Probably.
Wait a second. In a steel cage or in an octagon?
I mean, either one, I would assume.
Octagon. He's supposed to be an MMA fighter.
Yeah, he's a wrestler, too. So I think it'd be cool to see him six sides of steel.
Take him out of his element.
Well, they're both his element.
Nah, he's more seasoned as a pro wrestler.
All right. Okay, fair enough.
And I've never been in an octagon. So I have the advantage.
That's true. So
don't ask me how.
In a regular.
But I have it.
We'll set up a ring, and we'll put the cage around
it.
You
could do it for a minute.
Right?
Yeah.
He can't hit me. He can tackle me.
He can't hit you? We never said he couldn't hit you.
No, he can't fucking hit me.
We never said if he catches you, he can't hit you?
I have to wear like the headgear and stuff. He'll fucking rip my head
off. You know what?
That's
I know,
a good idea.
You never said that he couldn't hit you.
He could tackle me. He could make me tap.
Let Matt put the headgear on. Make sure he's got like the 6 or 8 ounce gloves or whatever. And he's just got to make Matt tap.
It'll be like bully beatdown, but wizard beatdown.
Yeah, but the actual bully will win and kill you.
I can avoid him for a minute.
I'd say give him 90 seconds if you're going to wear headgear and make him wear gloves.
All right, I'll give him 90 seconds. Bobby Lashley, 90 seconds, punk. I'll fucking tweet at you later when we're done, like I do every week after the show.
You have to, but if you do, you have to call him sweetie like he did to Dick
Clark. You want me? I'll be like, hey, sweetie, I could last 90 seconds in the cage with you.
He's going to block you from that. He's going to read, what the fuck? Hey, sweetie, I could last 90 seconds in a cage with you?
I know
what
that.
What kinky shit?
Yeah.
One of the wizards has been talking about putting together a wrestling show on and off for a long time. I think we might have to actually put one together.
Oh, me against Lashley, you against Gulak.
Whoa. I was talking more about Kevin against Hummer.
Fuck you guys.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And a cheesesteak on a pole match.
I don't eat, man. I'll let her win that match. Fuck it.
No,
don't
worry. Stuff it in your fat fucking
She'll
ass.
Eat. She'll eat your asshole.
Oh, my God, dude.
For
and you're almost
seconds.
Tossing your salad in front of 10,000 screaming fans.
10,000? You're
Hell
underestimating
yeah, bro.
Our reach.
Dude, we got to book this at the Garden.
Oh, all right.
No other venue can control this madness.
Lashley versus Matt. Gulak versus Tony.
I guarantee
I'm not fighting Hummer.
No, you. Who said you're fighting her?
You don't have to fight her.
Sounds
you have
like a
to avoid
to
her for 90 seconds, too.
Wait, does that mean I have to actually fight Gulak?
Yeah.
You guys
I think
like,
I got a lot of, you got a lot of rage without the shirt.
That's true. Fucking t-shirt on a pole match.
And you bring that Wendy's employee with
Done.
You as your manager.
Oh, my God. She would be the best.
We'll book the whole card like Vince Russo. Everything will be on a pole.
And then 4,000 run-ins.
There you go.
Who does Eddie fight?
Ooh.
Us?
I got it. You put Eddie's guys up against the Reality Check guys, and we do it old school Memphis style. If his boys lose, they get Eddie in the ring for 5 minutes.
And then if
and they
our
just
guys lose,
the
they get Adam for 5 minutes.
No, why are we going to put Adam on
reality
the
Check as in...
Our this company that we're affiliated with, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, they have a group called Reality Check.
Wait, you got an idea?
Okay. I thought
checks
you meant...
Up.
The Miz?
No, not The Miz, the Justin Labar guy, because he does that reality check bullshit.
Oh, no. I don't know who that is.
He's another wrestling...
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw the conversation out the window.
No, no, you're good. So fucking pussy-ass Bobby Lashley, he's going to fight me, but he won't. He's afraid, just like he was afraid to fight Bobby Roode. He went to fight
him. Wait, we're still talking TNA?
And then MVP said...
We're having
fun. Hey, easy.
TNA.
And then MVP said, no, he's not fighting you. And Bobby Lashley was like... You're right. I got to save my energy for Shining Wizards Matt. And he left.
There it is.
Because I got to avoid him for 90 seconds.
Dude, exactly.
What if he said that? What if you're watching fucking Impact and he actually said, I have to save my energy for Shining Wizards Matt and walked off?
I'd probably come on the TV. Rihanna would come home and the cats would be on the couch and I'd just be fucking, and like a paused Bobby Lashley. Nice shiny head.
You'd have like Silver Surfer jizz from the tip of your dick to the television screen.
All static.
And then as you're cleaning it, you're like, fuck, now I got to avoid him for 90 minutes in a cage.
Yeah, like 90 minutes. Whoa, Adam.
90 seconds, sorry.
Easy over there. 90 minutes. That's a long time. It's like a
90
fucking,
seconds is a long
it's like
time.
Like half of a Lord of the Rings
Wait,
movie.
Wait, I got a better idea. We don't time the match at 90 seconds. We get Kevin and Hummer at ringside, and she starts jerking him off. And this, as soon as he comes, time's up. So she's got to be really good, and Kevin's got to be really
no,
quick
that's
to
like,
save Matt.
Good luck, pal, because that'll be like 4 hours.
I bet you she's really good at that.
She'll probably get you off in 22 seconds.
Bro, come on, help me out.
Come on, look at
He's
him.
He's trying to avoid Bobby Lashley in a cage.
I'm
He's
trying desperate. To avoid Kathy Hummer on my dick.
All right, fair enough.
How do we get here?
We were talking Impact.
You know, one thing leads to the next. You're coming on your TV.
Bobby Lashley? Come
and
on.
And avoiding Bobby Lashley for 90 seconds.
This is probably more entertaining than Impact. So
it
then
like
they decide that Gail Kim, she has to be fucking stand-up Asian lady of the year. She's got to fight Hurt against Jessica Havoc, and eventually she loses her knockout championship, and Jessica Havoc is now the knockout champion.
Aboo.
And that is how Impact ended.
All right.
Wow. And that's Impact.
Adam. And this is what you're missing.
I bet you 8 million people said how awful it was that they made the knockouts, the main event spot, and there were like 5 or 6 people who were like, that's awesome! I miss when they used to do that with Trish and Lita. That's awesome.
I kind of enjoyed it, to be honest with you.
There you go.
I got to take a leak before Yuha calls.
Yeah, why don't we...
Yuha?
You want a break here, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, take a break.
Yeah.
You know what? 8 or 9 minutes till...
For people that don't know, I might air the Meet the Wizard spot that we did a year ago.
No,
that doesn't play into...
what, Mr. Nation?
Our guest tonight. That's not necessary. Try and throw me under the bus, because
fucking
Drew
Gulak. Speaking of nations, you know who we need to book?
Send you a fucking T-shirt.
We should book the One Warrior Nation.
No.
We can make it a whole United Nations block
no.
of episodes.
Stop it. Podcast cancer.
We will be right back, speaking with Mr. Yuha Nation. But first, a word from our sponsors. Oh, and Adam Lucidi's here.
Yes, he is.
I didn't forget. He's a funny dude. Stick around.
There it is.
Your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, only on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, iTunes, Audio Boo, and Stitcher.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My 5 Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Vinyl-y Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audio Boo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Finish this episode of The Shining Wizards, get off that $12 whore you just tore apart, and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net. Or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, Podcasts.com, and of course at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network. Howdy!
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com, with such fantastic programming as Chattastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, the Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship Geeks of the Industry. Go to geeksoftheindustry.com now.
Hey everyone, this is Justin for the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast. When you're done with this great episode, we would love for you to give our show a try. We cover pop culture, geek news, music, sports, and of course, professional wrestling. Just search for Inconclusive Breakdown on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline tonight, he is one of the most athletic wrestlers around these days. He's the Beast. He's the Nation. He's the Yuha Nation.
How's it going? I love the sound of all that, man. I never get tired of hearing that kind of stuff.
The clapping, or are you being called a beast?
The clapping.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it, guys.
We appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. I know we've been chasing you for a while. You're typically not in the States, though. You spent a lot of time over in Japan wrestling for Dragon Gate. How did you fall into that? Because I've heard numerous stories from the Rich Swans and a lot of the other guys who happened to be at the tryout where you decided you were just going to throw a couple 450s out there, stand in shooting stars.
I don't think I did any 450s. I used to do those off the diving boards, but I stay away from them in the ring. But what happened was, Fox, Al Fox had started coming. We trained together here in Atlanta, and he was telling me, he's like, you need to come do this DGOSA trial. You know, it was in Indiana, I believe, at the time, 2011 November, I think it was, or September or something like that. And I had like $100 to my name. I was working like, one of these bullshit jobs, and I think I was working for like Delta Airlines or something. So I never really had any money in my pocket or anything like that. And I was like, whatever, I'll do it. We grabbed a couple other guys from the school. It was about like six of us that went all together. We went in two different cars. And I knew that if I needed something like food or just some help on the road, that, one of the guys would have my back. And the trial was actually $50. So that left me with $50 on a like 11-hour drive to Indiana one way, So I was like, I'm going to do it. I keep talking about how I want to, travel and be the best doing this. I can't just be stuck in Georgia wrestling, So I said, I'm just going to give it a shot. And I got up there and I paid my $50 and, Shima and, I think Yamato, Yoshino, a lot of the guys that had an influence in the Dragon Gate Japan office were there. And, they had the seminar and then we got to do a trial match. I wrestled one of the guys I came with, his name is Navy Blue. And, they gave us 3 minutes. I went out there, I showed, I think, the shooting star, we kept it real simple, shooting star, in the moonsault. And when everyone was done with their match, they gave us a chance to show us, for us to show them, anything that we just wanted to do, whatever it was. And, I did my dive over the top and I did the shooting star and moonsault again. And Gabe Sapolsky was like, they put me on the show for that day. And after the match, I think he gave us maybe a max of 5 minutes. And after the match, he said, whatever I'm doing, you're on it too, as I was walking to the back. And that was a Friday. By the end of Sunday show, Shima and the rest of the Japan office were asking if I wanted to come to Japan. So it was pretty crazy and cool experience, and what came out of it was something that I never expected. So it was the best $50 I ever spent in my life.
Absolutely. And when you're told that you have a tryout and then they tell you have 3 minutes, how do both guys look good in 3 minutes?
It was tough because we had already, we thought we were going to get at least five, so we had like this, we had to shorten whatever we had. And, we looked at each other and it's like, I started panicking, I was freaking out. And, my dude was just like, stay calm, we'll cut some stuff out. But we got to work it in where, we both did our stuff, it was like we chose the things that we did good and the things that we knew would be that we thought they might be impressed by. And we hope that we get over it and just stuck to those things rather than doing a whole bunch of nonsense in there,
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned the shooting star press and the dives over the top rope. And people who aren't familiar with you, maybe they don't know. You're 6 foot. You're 240. You're a big guy, and someone right. your size that agile. I mean, it's crazy to watch. We saw you take on Ricochet last month at Evolve 35, and I mean, just to watch you in the ring and do the stuff that you're not really used to seeing big guys do is unbelievable. What made you go in that route where you were going to use a moveset like that?
Well, first, like when I was younger, I actually did take it. I was always able to flip. You know, one day I just went outside, I used to start on my bed when I was a lot smaller than I am now. You know, I don't think I could try that now. But I used to love those big trampolines that they had, too, and I'd go out there and just do flips and off diving boards and stuff. And when I started wrestling at the time, you know, Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit were a big influence on me. So I came in thinking that I wanted to wrestle just like those guys. And I think my first match was against Fox. And, you know, I think he mentioned something about using, you know, like the flip or something like that, you know. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll show it. And I did it. And, you know, since then, it kind of just clicked at one point where I just kind of found my own style. You know, I wanted to be something different rather than be just like the guys that I idolized. You know, I wanted to take something that they did, but add my own twist to it. So I was also influenced by, you know, AJ Styles, and, you know, back then he was doing all kind of crazy stuff, you know, and I wanted to bring like an aerial assault, same with the power, you know. So it was something where I want to be that guy that can go in there with anybody and have an excellent match, you know. I just want to be, that's the kind of guy I want to be, because that's how I looked at Kurt Angle, whoever you put him in with, or Benoit, you know, or Styles, you know, those kind of guys, whoever you put him with, they can have an amazing match for anybody. I want to be that guy. So I kind of wanted to find a style that I could, you know, work against a bigger guy or, you know, and have a moveset for that, or work a smaller guy, use more power, you know. And it kind of just clicked at one time. You know, I couldn't tell you when, but it just all kind of came together at one time, you know.
Yeah, and then it seemed like that style really worked for you, but with that style, the risk, there's the reward, but on the opposite end, there is risk.
There's risk. definitely.
Couldn't have been 3-4 months where you're tearing up Dragon Gate USA, and you blow your knee out in a three-way match. What's going through your mind? I mean, it's a very basic move when you go over that top rope and do that flip, and there's all those guys to catch you, but as soon as you hit, I mean, in the video, you go right for your knee. I mean, what's the first thing you're thinking of?
I was just like, well, I was on my way to my second tour of Japan, too, and it was crazy because I was, you know, just wondering if, you know, I was waiting on it, you know. I was like, well, when's the second tour coming? You know, what's going to happen? You know, I went and had this first tour, and, you know, they were impressed by me, and I was just thinking, you know, I'm waiting for that call. So we get to my Hollywood. It wasn't mine. I think it was Hollywood, and, you know, Shima comes up, and he's saying, you know, we want to bring you back. I think it was May, and the show was like, this was WrestleCon. This was WrestleMania weekend, actually, yeah. So, you know, I go to jump, you know, as I'm running, I go to take off, and I just hear, like, this loud, like, pop, you know, and, you know, that's why I didn't even make, because as soon as I jumped, my knee went out, and that's why I barely made it over the top rope, and as soon as I grabbed it, I knew something was wrong, and I was like, okay, maybe I can stand up and you know, finish the match, but I tried to stand up, and my leg just wasn't having any of that, and I was thinking, you know, just praying for the best, but knowing that something was wrong, you know, I was just hoping that, okay, maybe it's not that bad, but at the same time, I knew that, you know, I knew I needed surgery as soon as it happened, but I was, you know, I was in denial, you know, and things were going so well, and I didn't want anything to set me back, but, you know, it, things like that happened, so it was something that I had to, you know,
deal with.
Yeah, it's something I had to deal with, and I worked, you know, my ass off to come back, you know, and it was one of them things that I'm glad, I wouldn't wish on anybody. I'm glad I went through it because it made me smarter, and it also showed a side of me to myself that, you know, I never knew was there. So it was good for me to go through that.
Now, you were out for almost a year. What did you find yourself contemplating maybe a change in your work ethic or the style that you wrestled in? What do you do for a year when you're sidelined and you can't really do what you love?
Man, it was rough. It was probably the roughest time of my life. I was in physical therapy 3 times a week, you know, doing things that I knew I could do, you know, in my sleep, you know, and I could barely do them you know, I could barely do what they wanted me to do. You know, at first I was, right after surgery, you know, he told me he wanted me on the couch for, you know, like 2 weeks. I couldn't put any pressure on it. So if I wanted a glass of water, I had to ask my mom to get me a drink. You know, I couldn't stand up. I was on crutches. You know, I think I had like my whole beard and my hair grew out. You know, I was just sitting there on Facebook messaging people and just trying to stay relevant in some kind of way. At the same time, I hadn't really, you know, hit that mark where I hadn't hit that point where, you know, I guess being a household name, you call it. I don't know. But it was rough. And just it's the day I got the clearance to go in the gym, you know, and just do upper body stuff, that same day I was in the gym. And at first, you know, I was like, this could be it. You know, maybe I should just try something else or whatever. And when I started seeing those results and my knees started getting stronger and I started, you know, jogging slowly and just the progression, you know, more confidence came with it. And I think it was January 20th of 2013, you know, I went to the doc. And I knew that day going into the doc, to the surgeon, to see the surgeon, he was going to release me to actually start wrestling again. You know, I knew before he even, before he even told me, because I was, you know, doing flips in my yard and you know, and my knee was good. And the day he gave me clearance, I went back to the school and started training from scratch. And I just busted my ass off. I changed my diet, you know, the way I ate, you know, changed my workout routine. And to go back to your original question, you know, if I thought, you know, if it was thinking about changing my style, I definitely knew I was going to cut the dive out of my, you know, my routine. Because I'm comfortable with base jumping. It's just running.
Right.
And jumping with that kind of force, it still freaks me out, you know?
All right. Now, Juha, going back to your earlier days when you started training, you started training under a guy that a lot of people may not be familiar with. I mean, us here being all wrestling nerds, we are 100% familiar with him.
Right.
Curtis, Mr. Hughes, who I was a big fan of, who actually had a longer career than a lot of people realize.
He did.
Other than his just first, a lot of people may remember him just from his run with The Undertaker, which was still pretty impressive. But he had a longer career. What, if anything, did you learn under, not what, if anything, obviously you learned stuff, but what was it like training with Mr. Hughes? And do you have any good Curtis Hughes stories for us?
Yeah, I'll start with the story. You know, Hughes is one of those guys who still thinks he's, you know, total protection, Mr. Hughes. You know, I love the guy to death, but I refuse to eat it with him or go to any drive thru with him or eat at any restaurant with him, because there was one time, you know, I used to pick him up and drop him off from training. So we're leaving training and we stop at Wendy's and, you know, he always has this like drawn out specific order. You know, it's like no cheese, no onions, no salt on the fries kind of thing, you know, and he's making his order and I'm repeating it to the lady because I'm driving, and we get to the window. And they put cheese on his sandwich, and he didn't want any cheese on it, you know. And he licked the fries. He's like, salt on my fries. He's like, he throws it back. He's like, send that back. He calls the girl. He's like, you damn cow. I told you not to put any salt on my fries. And I was sitting here looking at her like, yo, man, you know, she's going to spit in your food. What are you doing, you know? And they bring his order back, you know, with no salt on the fries. And I'm sure some, you know, maybe a couple buns that might have dropped on the floor. But
They probably licked the salt off the fries.
Right. Yeah, they did. You know, he's one of them guys that he's stuck in his way, you know, and he's just not going to change because that's just who he is, you know.
But was it overall a valuable experience learning with him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He, amazing guy, you know. He essentially taught me everything I know, you know, and he had me in the ring with other guys I was coming up with, Black Baron and AR Fox, Jonathan Gresham. You know, he had us in there. We're in there, you know, four times a week doing a show one time a week, you know, and he had us working, you know, and they're rotating in and out and just dropping, you know, I think like 22, 23 years of knowledge on us, you know. So it's amazing learning under him, and a great guy as well. He took me to my first shows outside of Georgia, you know, got to wrestling. I didn't even have gear at the time. I was wrestling like basketball shorts and, you know, amateur wrestling shoes and like some soccer socks I had from high school. And he took us up to Ohio, Indiana, you know, being on the road with him to get us these bookings. You know, it wasn't like we're wrestling, you know, for, you know, like any Smart Mark crowd or anything like that. Or, you know, they weren't making DVDs or anything like that. But just the fact, you know, he was taking us on the road and and getting us those bookings and getting us that experience was one of those things, I guess, you know, just paying your dues. And it was one of those things that I look back on, and as much as I hated at the time being on the road like that, it's one of the things that you look back on and you're happy that you did. And you know, you get to bond with guys like that too over such a long drive. And you know, he's an amazing guy, man. And I always give him the credit for everything that I've done today.
Now, you mentioned hating the long road trips, but before we started our interview, we were asking how you were doing and everything. And for those not familiar, you're primarily featured in Japan. So for you to come back to the States and be home for this amount of time, you have a lot of downtime. What are you doing with yourself now? Since, I mean, you expressed the desire to not travel.
Yeah, it's like one of those bittersweet kind of things where, you know, I do shows, you know, local shows, and I got two this weekend. I got a show in St. Louis and here in Georgia, and you know, like just since Evolve, I haven't done anything, you know, and it's sometimes it's hard because I forget being gone so long that, you know, because Rangier's schedule is already set, so I don't have to worry about making my own schedule, so I kind of forget how to make, you know, my schedule, you know, and I come home and I find myself with so much downtime, and then I'm like, oh man, I wish I was on the road, you know. And then when I'm on the road, I'm like, oh, I just want to be home on my bed, you know. It's one of those kind of things. But I definitely, as much as, you know, the traveling is such a hassle, but as much of a hassle as it is, I hate the downtime worse.
Are you involved with the Evolve going to China? I know they're going in November.
I'll be in UK at that time, you know, and I wanted to go so bad, you know. China, I've never wrestled in China. It would be another country, you know, that would be the sixth country I've got to wrestle in the 5 years that I've been wrestling. So it would have been cool. You never really get to hear a lot of people say they've, you know, wrestled in that many countries before, you know, being on TV or anything like that in such a short time. So it would have been cool, but I'll be back in UK for that date. So I would not be wrestling in China. I wish I was, though.
What other countries? I know, obviously, North America and Japan, but where else have you been?
Yeah, I've been to Scotland, Germany, and England. Did you say England? Yeah, and England.
What's the hardest country to work for, and what's the easiest?
Oh, man. England's crowds are really great, especially PCW, Preston City Pro Wrestling's crowd. Their crowd is, and I haven't been to PWG yet, but their crowd is, you know, one that I've heard that's been compared to PWG's crowd a lot. And as far as the hardest, sometimes when I come home, you know, I don't know what it is, but sometimes it's hard to, you know, to get the fans into. You know, I don't think it's the fact that they're not enjoying the match, but, you know, sometimes they just see such crazy stuff that if you're not doing something that's either really, I don't even want to say crazy, but if you're not doing something that's really, you know, great storytelling, even, you know, there's something that's just really smart, you know, it's hard to get them to interact. Whereas in, you go to other places and you don't have to do something. I guess you could say you don't have to think as hard. I don't know if that's the right term, but you don't have to.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have to. You know, they're just so excited from the start of the show to the end of the show, you know. And England probably be one of the easiest places, I'd say. Japan crowds are very good too. They're a lot more quiet in some places, but I think it's more of a thing of you know, that they're more like a respect kind of thing. Yeah, they know we're out here performing, and they're just like not that those kind of people to be. They're not like rowdy people like that, you know. Like, you know, the cheer and stuff like that. But you won't find crowds where, you know, everyone is drunk and just, you know having a good time like that and just going crazy, you know.
Yeah, was it a culture shock for you to spend so much time in Japan?
Well, the thing is, I had been traveling a lot before. My dad's at the United Nations, so I got to travel a lot before I was, you know, before I started wrestling even. So, you know, I got to see a lot of the world. And when I got to Japan, it was really the first time I'd been off in another country on my own. But it wasn't so hard to adjust just because I'd been around so much. And, you know, being there longer, I think, you know, because you first go there and you want to do everything right. You know, you're okay. You don't want to disrespect anybody. You don't want to do anything like that. And at the same time, the longer you go, you still don't want to disrespect anybody, but you get more comfortable. So you kind of do the things that you would do at home without so much worry, you know, and then you forget that, okay, I'm not at home. I can't do certain things that I would do at home, you know, that I do here. The one thing is learning the language. Japanese is probably the hardest thing. The hardest language, I'd say, to learn ever, because it is just, it's so difficult, you know, and I'm not the guy to sit around and study like that anyway. So it's one of those things, if you're not studying and understanding the grammar and stuff like that, it you'll have a tough time. I've been going for, you know, like 2 years, and I barely, you know, can speak, you know, so it's tough. That's the one thing that I'd say. I wish somehow just magically I spoke Japanese, you know, but it unfortunately doesn't work like that, you know.
Do you know enough to buy some of those used panties out of vending machines while you're there?
I think I know enough to do. I know enough to get around. Yeah, I know enough to get around. I can go out on my own and, you know, spend a couple hours out and not, you know, be in too much trouble. You know, but I wouldn't wander off to somewhere I wasn't too familiar with. And, you know, a lot of the times I'm over there with Ricochet anyway, so, it, you know, and he's been going there longer, or when I was over there with Swan. So they would always, you know, kind of show me the way and, you know, guide me around. So it's not too bad. Tozawa, I'll go out with him a lot, and, you know, whenever he's there, I don't have to worry about anything because, you know, he speaks English and Japanese, so it's always easy when he's around.
See, Japan is like Disney World to me, man. Like, I want to go. I want to eat sushi off a naked lady. I want to sing karaoke with a bunch of drunk businessmen. It just seems like the best time to go there.
Yo, I think you should definitely try to do that if you have a chance. You know, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but I would definitely, you know, make that one of the places on your list to visit for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Do you have any of those weird like sponsor stories where like they like the fans sponsor you and they take you out to dinner and then like they want you to like super kick them or like moonsault on them? Anything weird like that?
After Kobe World, we usually go out and party and they want us to chop them, you know, and I don't really throw chops anyway, so you know, I'm kinda, and I don't want to just chop some random guy, you know, like who you know, I feel bad about after, but they love it. They love that kind of thing, just interacting with us and you know, being able to say that. Because to them, we're like, you know, superstars, you know, and I'm by no means consider myself a superstar, but to them, they see us like that, you know, and not even just being a wrestler, but being a foreigner, you know, they're you know, they're just amazed by that as well, too, you know, when you tell them you're from America, you know, and they just want to, they want to have so much conversation with you, you know, it's hard to get far in any conversation or in too deep in the conversation, but you know, they're just amazed by it. They want to interact and they want you to feel at home. You know, they're just such nice people, you know, it's, you know, but they love that kind of thing. Like, you know, taking chops from us and you know, they take pictures with their red chest, you know, and it's just something that they enjoy, you know, and,
please tell me the women enjoy it as much as the men.
The women enjoy the foreigners.
Ah!
Yeah, definitely.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Some of them, you know, you get those that are kind of scared and you know, timid, but, you know, there's a lot of them who really,
we know,
who really love us, you know. Like, and it love us to like a level where it's kind of almost like, all right, yeah, you need to relax a little bit.
Creepy,
you know?
Right? It gets fucking creepy,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, me and Ricochet sit there and talk like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to mess with these Japanese girls anymore.
Yeah, Kevin feels the same way.
It's funny. Fun times.
Yeah, you wake up with a fish head in your bed.
Right, yeah, I don't need any kind of that, you know, that juju or whatever you want to call it, you know? Yeah, I don't need any of that.
Absolutely. We get our own juju over here.
Yeah, it only took 25 minutes to open up about this.
So, next Friday, a big debut for you. You make your debut at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. What's that like for you to be invited out there? Because I know it's a very elite class of wrestlers that they bring out to their shows.
Man, just even to be part of that is amazing. They've been trying to get me to come out there for a while because once again, you know, Rich Swann and Ricochet were you know, pushing for me to get out there, and I just was so busy. You know, every time you give me a date, you know, I'd be like, oh man, I'm gonna be out of town, or you know, I'm busy or whatever. And a lot of people were asking him about me and Brian Cage. You know, they wanted to see me versus Brian Cage. So
I watched that.
Yeah, once he got the chance to, once my schedule freed up, I told him, I was like, you know, I'll be home all of October. Hopefully, if you're running, I'd love to, you know, come out there. And we got it set together. And, I knew it was going to be me and Brian Cage. You know, that's what people wanted to see. And for me, it's good, because to get the wrestler guy like that, you know, almost the same style as me, you know, probably a little bigger, but it's something new for me. You know, I've never been in a match with someone like that. So it'll be good. I think it's going to be a great match, and I'm looking so forward to it, because just the things I hear about the crowd and the environment and wrestling in California is, you know, that's all you need to say right there, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like an ECW vibe out there with the crowd.
Right. Right. And, you know, and I wish they travel more, but I think it's smart what he's doing though, because you know, he if it's not broken, don't fix it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's live shows and straight to DVD. It seems to be working.
It's going to be, the card looks great too, you know, and, I'm so happy I get to be a part of that. It's going to be amazing. You know, I'm looking forward to it a lot. I'm definitely looking forward to just the list. Like you said, the elite, the talent out there, and just the people that have been through there. It's, I still think to myself, like, you know, how did I get here? You know, it's crazy. It's amazing.
You definitely deserve to be there. You look at Brian Cage, and I personally, being a PWG fan, I'm concerned that he's going to rip out of his skin because he's so fucking big.
That's what my mom used to tell me that, and I was like, there's no way possible, you know, and then, you know, I see a guy like that, and I'm like, man, you know, people say I'm a big guy, and you see someone like him, and it's like, damn, well, am I really a big guy, you know?
You're definitely big, dude. Don't sell yourself short.
I got you. I appreciate it. Yeah, he's a big dude, and for me, it's cool because, you know, some of the stuff that he can do in the ring, I think our styles are gonna match very well. And it, like I said, it's gonna be a unique. I wrestled guys who can, you know, of course he could fly, you know, but not that big, you know. And it's gonna be great to be able to you know, just work that different style, you know. And I can't say enough about it, you know. And I think the crowd is going to love it, because, you know, that you're finally getting what they want to see, you know, and it's a new match. It's the first match. He's never wrestled me. I've never wrestled him. We get to do it at probably the best crowd and you know, on the Indies in the United States. So it's going to be a great time.
Yeah. And I think the extra exposure for you, for people who weren't familiar, I mean, a whole year off the Dragon Gate USA and Evolve scene, you know, people aren't exposed to you and the talents you have. It's only a matter of time before, in my opinion, you get picked up by the WWE. I mean, you are a very unique individual with the speed and the power. I mean, it seems like it's got Vince McMahon boner written all over it. Jesus.
that would be best, because that has been the dream ever since. You know, I think, you know, if anyone was to tell you that at some point it wasn't their dream to get there, they'd definitely be telling you a lie, because I don't think, you know, a lot of people get into this just saying, yeah, I want to be, you know, an indie wrestler. You know, I am an indie wrestler, so I have the most respect for indie wrestlers. You know, the things we do, you know, are unimaginable, and yet we still do them, you know, because we love what we do. But for someone to say that their goal isn't to get to that level, you know, at one point in their career, you know, it'd definitely be telling you a lie. You know, it as much as I love, you know, going to Japan and Indies, the WWE has always been, you know, the goal for me since I got into wrestling, you know, and that's, you know, I just being honest, you know, it, I don't know why some people like to deny that, you know, it's just weird to me.
No, I hear you. And we wish you nothing but the best. We'd like nothing more to see you on the WWE, and we want you to be so successful in your career, because you are an amazing talent and just a great all-around dude.
Absolutely.
For you guys out there, you want to follow the Yuha, follow him on Twitter at Yuha Nation, UHAA Nation. See him next Friday.
Next Friday, yeah.
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla this weekend. He's going to be in St. Louis and Georgia. Yuha, before we let you go, anything else that do you want to throw out there for the fans?
No, I appreciate you guys, man. I really do, and I got the T-shirt in my room, you know, and I really appreciate you guys sending that out to me too, and you guys coming out to the show as well. For real, it was a good time.
Oh, we appreciate you wearing it, man. Bring it to Japan. Get some pictures in front of that weird panties machine. Tony will love that.
Yeah, I'm going to the I'm taking it to the UK. Anytime I leave, I'll take you with me. I'm gonna cut the sleeves off though because that's just I gotta show the arms, you know.
Absolutely, dude. If I look like you, I'd probably like just wear.
You would wear no shirt.
I would not wear any shirt.
It'd be a headband for Matt.
Right. I might do that. You know, just make it like a headband or like an armband. Just make sure I got the logo on there showing though. That's the important part.
Turn it into a pair of tights.
Right. Definitely. It also, I was like, I need to get like my own personal team just to do things with these ideas we got.
Awesome, dude.
Hang on the line and we'll be right back, guys. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
No, I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
This is Brodus Clay, a.k.a. The Funkasaurus, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards podcast.
Now, I brought up Giancarlo.
We're recording, you know. We're back.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you very much to Yuha Nation before we get started. Okay, go ahead.
Follow him on Twitter, at Yuha Nation. Cool dude, great talent. But I was taking a leak, and before we were talking about who would we fight on a wrestling pay-per-view, fucking Giancarlo Buesaw.
Oh, for me?
Yeah, just trying to put himself over.
That's all it is.
Just trying to put himself over, man.
That's all it is.
Probably got like a weird Buesaw boner for hearing his name mentioned on our podcast.
Well, he was nice enough to have you on Pop Cultivation as a guest many moons ago, and you were fucking hammered.
We should play that whole episode back and all listen to it and just make fun of me.
But we do that on every episode of our show.
Yeah, but I was fucking tanked. I was tanked. Rhiannon was home. She was pissed because I was still doing podcasts. Oh, God.
Hey, listen. What else are adults supposed to do but podcasts?
Well, she wanted some of the hammer. That's why.
Am I right?
That's Matt true. Wasn't giving her the Hebrew hammer. He was too busy talking to Giancarlo.
It was fucking great. I was hammered. I want to have him come in studio.
I want to have him come on my face.
Oh, interesting. God. Very all right, interesting. Guys. Well, speaking
of coming on faces,
we are still here with comedian Adam Lucidi.
Yep, and I've just been coming on all their faces since I've been here.
What was it like sitting in on the interview, just taking it all in?
I just let you guys do your thing.
I saw him fucking laughing at me every time I tried to stumble through a question.
No, he threw this. He threw a bottle cap at me while we were, because I just wanted to let you guys do your thing. I didn't want to.
I don't know. I don't want to sound gay, but I really like your accent.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to say you really like Yuha Nation's body. Jesus Christ, dude.
I thought you
were going to get a fucking bottle of oil and give him the body heat treatment.
Adam Lucidi had Yuha Nation's body but kept that accent,
I'd be a 10.
I'd be in the cage with him for 2 minutes.
Not trying to avoid him.
Oh. Exactly.
All right, so we're going to get into
We're going to move on, and we're going to get into
Adam's area of expertise, which is Monday Night Raw, because he has the funniest live Raw
shitting
tweets.
On Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, what's it like to be the greatest reviewer of the shittiest show on television?
Feels great. Feels fucking great.
He says feels like Phil.
Now, let me ask you. You're a wrestling fan, right?
Yeah.
No, obviously. Not at all. Jesus, he only fucking watches Raw every week.
Does it feel to you like they just don't give a shit?
Yes. Absolutely. They don't give a shit.
That's what makes it so funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why it's so easy to just make jokes about anything that they throw. It's really, they're just throwing shit at the wall and just seeing what sticks. And it's when it does stick, they're like, well, let's not do that no more.
It doesn't seem like anything's sticking.
No, but stuff does stick, and then they abandon it.
Yeah.
Like, what was your, me and Eddie, we talked about this, and we all talked about this ad nauseum on the show. Jack Swagger.
Oh, poor Jack Swagger.
What's your opinion? Do you think that he should still be feuding with Rusev?
I mean, he could. I'm sure they could get some more out of him. I had said, I mean, I like Swagger as a face, but I had said when Sandow wasn't doing shit, what they should have done was put, and Cesaro left the Real Americans. They should have had Sandow team with Coulter and Swagger and be a new Real American. And they could have been like, hey, you know, Sandow's a lot better than all you people. You guys are terrible Americans. He's smart and, you know, he's the top model American. other than Swagger with his athletic ability.
Come on, Swagger's the
ideal.
Kurt Angle.
You're going to be the Miz's bodyguard.
Yeah, come on.
Which, oh, by the way, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a little bit. I'm not saying that they stole the idea from me.
You called me, though, to tell me this.
I did. I did call Adam last night because I know I watch Raw every week, but
Kevin
never calls
me.
I don't pay attention. I don't pay attention as closely as he does to Raw because I'm usually out watching football and hockey or whatever at the same time.
Watching those bullshit sports.
Yeah.
Especially that hockey.
The ones that keep score, those bastards. Fake. Those fake sports. Actually, football might be fake now. But anyway, I called him because I wanted to make sure. Because last week on the show, I said that it would be funny if Damian Sandow pantomimed all the moves that The Miz was going through in the ring. Do you remember that, Matt?
Yes.
And then this week, they did that. And I called Adam to see, like, Adam, hey, is this something that they've been doing or is this brand new? And Adam, of course, replied,
no, that was the first time I've seen him do the moves on the outside. Exactly. I mean, he's slowly but surely been, like, you know.
He was doing the mannerisms.
Yeah, the mannerisms was first, and then he started, like, doing it like he was talking like him when Miz would talk. But so, then this was the first time I saw him do the
moves. Maybe it was a natural progression of the character. I'm not blatantly saying they stole the idea from the Shining Wizards podcast, but being that they stole Eddie's promo gimmicks from the Wyatts, from Monsters Island. I'm not going to discount the fact that WWE is aware of us and
stealing our shit.
They're
listening to the Wizards.
They are. Because it was blatantly what I said last week, and they did it tonight, or last night on Raw.
There was an article I read that Triple H is, like, really into
the Shining Wizards.
Shining Wizards, okay. And sending minions, I guess, minions of WWE to check, like,
indie
message
shows?
Boards and, you know, podcasts and a whole bunch of stuff.
Are you a minion?
No.
Okay.
No.
Maybe.
That'd be cool, though.
7 Hall of Famers on this show, by the way.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And actually, that's what, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. Actually, I won't say it. The thing about how someone from the mothership of sports entertainment was
The mothership, daddy.
At pro wrestling.
WCW Saturday Night, daddy. That's why I'm talking over you, bro.
You're good at, like, starting and then.
Well, I want to keep the people interested because I don't know if I'm allowed to say, and the Twisted Tees may make
me
say something.
The
Twisted
Tees
may say something that I may regret, so I don't want
to
do it.
Fair enough. Let's get back to Raw. I read the reviews and
Aboo.
I get it. I get The Rock.
No.
That was the best part of the show.
But what?
Yeah,
like,
but
am I supposed to be?
At what a price?
The Rock Rusev? Is that something that's going to happen? Or is that just a one-time deal?
The problem is they've been building Rusev as this monster, and they just let The Rock dismantle him.
But he didn't rock bottom him. So
yeah, but he made him look. But I don't know, man. You're putting another part-timer over somebody that you're trying to build.
No, but I think Rusev being in the ring with The Rock built him up more than it hurt him.
Yeah, but he didn't. I don't know.
But what is he? You think he's going to put The Rock in the camel clutch? Come on.
No, but he still took a beating at The Rock's hands. You know,
he got punched in the face once and left the ring, and Lana held him back.
The Rock should have gave Lana a rude awakening, and then did the swivel hips over him.
That would have been funny.
The hand out and call fucking Rusev over, and then the two of them start making out, and Lana sucks their dicks.
Here's the problem, right?
Wait, that's not a problem. That's good.
No. She's a fuck. She looks like she's a goer.
What did he call her? The Moscow camel toe? What did he call it?
Moose knuckle.
No,
yeah,
he said he had another one.
A moose knuckle. It looked like she had a
Siberian
bottle in her Putin.
What was it? A something streetwalker.
I don't know.
Siberian streetwalker?
It
maybe?
Was trending worldwide. I know that, yes. But I can't remember what it was.
Bruno Sammartino's 79th birthday, and that's what they get trending.
Oh, God. You and this fucking.
They
dead,
said happy this, birthday to Bruno. I thought that was very nice of them.
This fucking mummy.
They
this hairy chested ape of a mummy.
Hey, he's from Pittsburgh.
Careful. I want to exactly.
There you go.
He was
fucking
from Adam.
The Pirates. Okay.
I thought you were gonna say Kurt Angle, and I was going and Kurt Angle.
Oh,
what's your take? Good. Maybe Kurt Angle have a couple drinks after the podcast
and what?
Fucking,
run over Bruno
with a broken freaking neck. He'll do it.
That's right.
and he'll run Bruno.
Then
over.
Him and fucking Roethlisberger can rape someone in a bathroom. They're like them apples, Pittsburgh.
You know they do these drugs in the locker room. That's my Bruno.
No, but fucking The Rock goes and then I don't know if you guys know, but there's a fucking picture now all over the interwebs.
Would they afterwards?
I guess. Of what? I don't know. With The Rock
Rusev,
and Lana
and Rusev.
It was probably from WrestleMania weekend.
No, I think it was from last night.
No, they were dressed too nice for just being out after Raw.
Well, how do you know?
Yeah, but
they
have to
like
dress up.
Raw.
They're all under that dress code still.
Yeah, but that was like a suit, and it was like a shirt and jacket. You don't have to do that fucking
thing.
Yeah, but
you're in
New York City, dude.
That was weird.
I know. We should touch dicks.
Nah. I can't wait till after this where Adam's like, never again, Kevin.
Oh, he's 100% he's not coming back.
Oh, no, I 105% he wants back next week.
I'm coming back with a bag next time I'm here, and I'm stealing a lot of
Kevin's
shit in
head
here.
When you bend him over?
I'm going to steal a lot of video games.
I got a Drew Gulak picture if you want.
I'll take that.
And a fucking Best of Kayla Sparks DVD. Gulak.
Shut up, dude.
Me and Adam are going to start our own podcast.
Still one of my all-time favorite episodes, this Kayla Sparks episode.
All right, anyway.
So run us through Raw. What did we miss?
You missed poop.
I poop a lot, Adam.
Other than The Rock. The Rock, that was the loudest I've heard them in a while.
I like, well, they announced the two main events for Hell in a Cell. John Cena versus Dean Ambrose. Winner fights Seth Rollins for nothing in a Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
They're not. There's no money in the bank briefcase.
Nothing's on the line.
Just get him in the cell.
Which I like what they've done in terms of building up the angle where they just both hate Seth Rollins, and it's fresh to see Seth Rollins be the guy that they hate and not Randy Orton. So I like that direction. I think Cena was. What did you think of Cena on Raw? I mean,
you know how I feel.
I know.
Cena.
We all know how Adam hates John Cena more than Eddie. Might hate him more than Eddie. That's why I wish Eddie was here right now, because
I didn't like that John Cena had to come out and put his arm around Joan What's-Her-Face when she gave
Joan London,
like,
yeah.
Ugh.
She was getting over with the crowd with her nice little story, and John Cena was like, not on my watch.
It was almost like when Kane came out and ushered Mr. T off the stage. Like, just came out, put his arm around her, and just, come on, sweetie, let's go.
Was she going along? Was she talking a lot? Or
No. Cena just needs to get his face out there.
He just showed up and hugged her, and then they walked off hand in hand in the sunset. And then everyone was like, don't boo Cena. And I was like, fuck you. I'm going to anyway.
I would respect him more if his shirt said, keep calm and save the titties. Then I would respect him.
The first match was a six-man tag with the Usos and Dolph Ziggler versus Cesaro, Goldust, and Stardust.
Which I heard nothing but good things about.
The highlight of the match was the triple super kick.
Yeah.
That was cool, right, Adam?
I tried really hard all day to try and find two people to run around the streets and do it with, but they wouldn't do it.
Like the new knockout game, just run around and triple super kick.
Oh, could you imagine?
That would go viral, dude.
And you dubbed Jim Ross commentary over with
Bugger Family.
If you lived in Cali, the Young Bucks easily would have done that.
Damn. Ooh. Yeah. All right.
Missed opportunity.
Great match. The triple super kick was awesome. A lot of people that was tweeting or what is it called? Trending, Adam?
Trending.
He's my Twitter sensei. Cesaro, whatever, yada yada. What else do we have? Bo Dallas versus Mark Henry, who gives a fuck?
They're still going with that?
Yep. 50-50. Oh, wait, didn't he win by countout?
Yeah.
DQ or something stupid?
Countout.
So Mark Henry jobs to Rusev and jobs to Bo Dallas. How soon till he retires?
I'm surprised it hasn't happened already.
Someone dust off the salmon suit.
How awesome
the
was it?
The retirement suit.
Mm-hmm. How awesome was it when he was retiring and he fucked Cena up?
I said that he should have won every Academy Award ever after that.
He
night.
Was awesome in that position.
Yep.
Awesome.
When he was doing the Hall of Pain, when he was the World Heavyweight Champion, that was awesome.
Yep.
But somebody gonna get the head split.
But I think they
I realize, always like, oh, I always like the. Uh-oh. I forget who said it, so I don't want to take credit for it. It's beat him up, take his snacks. I didn't come up with that, but every time I hear his theme, that's what I always think of.
Good God, you have a penis. Sweet Jesus.
What did fucking dickhead Adam Rose do?
Brought out Kathy Lee Gifford and Yoda.
He brought out Chris Payne.
And not Yoda from Star Wars.
It was Yoda.
Dude, it was Hoda.
Our boys Hoda. Were there.
I know they were. If Chris Payne would have fucking short arm clothesline Kathy Lee, I'd fucking give him all the money in my bank account.
Now,
Gibbs was there, and Matt Mac, the Bat Apple.
And they broke wine bottles on their butts, and then they...
whose butts?
Kathy Lee and Yoda. They both broke bottles.
Who's not...
Yoda.
It's Hoda.
Like the little green guy?
The real one, yeah.
No, the one from the... That's,
they do like the After Today Show.
But I made the joke that I saw Hoda and I did not see my favorite Star Wars character.
Whoa. What the fuck is Kathy Lee and Hoda doing
came
on
out
Raw?
Before Joan London, with her
they were the guest hosts.
But they also promoted breast cancer stuff.
Of course.
Who? So I don't understand.
All right. Before you get angry, correct. It's a stupid idea to bring them on. However, if any of you guys have ever been home on a weekday morning,
I don't have a day job.
I highly recommend
a lot.
Watching these two, because all they do, and it's fucking 9 o'clock in the morning, they get hammered on national television every fucking day.
All right.
Every day. And they just talk shit about everything.
I can get behind that.
They should fucking stay on NBC because it was terrible. And I'd rather watch the Bella's act than that.
If your husband was an ex-football player that was trying to bang girls in the ass on videotape, wouldn't you be fucked up too and getting drunk every day?
Probably.
And you sat next to that old man Regis for 60 years.
Somebody reposted a part of her book where she was shit-talking Ravishing Rick Rude and Bobby Heenan when they were on the show.
Did you have the tweet about Regis? Like, Regis Philbin will be spinning in his grave?
Yeah, over that was your segment. That was good.
And
he was dead?
No, he's not dead. That's why it's hysterical.
Jesus.
At first, I thought they were two Ric Flairs. I thought they cloned Ric Flair because they came out in Ric Flair robes.
They did.
Jesus!
That's terrifying.
But they did that.
Adam's really got to put his headphones on.
He misses all the good stuff.
Okay,
so I get fucking Joan London. Okay, I get her with the fucking...
Is she a survivor?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't
get
know
that. But didn't the fucking whole Kathy Lee Hoda thing turn into her just shilling her wine?
Yeah.
Yeah, she said, hey, are you... Yeah, yep.
And
then they said something about breast cancer, and then they danced, and then they broke bottles over their butts.
Anything about three rights make a left?
Three rights make a left.
Go Sox!
I want to go home.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I meant to tell you, Opie, late of Opie and Anthony, now Opie and Jimmy, put out that they were looking for programming for the Opie radio channel. So I sent them a tweet. I said, hey, you need some programming? Check this out. And I sent them off the link to the Alamo episode.
Nice.
Never heard anything back, though.
Probably not.
It's worth a try.
It is. It counts.
We're fucking surprised by that.
Couldn't hurt.
Nah, Sam can't even take a fucking picture in the goddamn Shining Wizards t-shirt we gave him.
That prick.
You fuck.
Bastard.
You fucking ginger-haired asshole.
Prick job.
Fuck you, Sam Roberts.
Yeah, fuck you, Sam. Come back on the show. Let's talk about WrestleMania, and I can make a bigger idiot of myself like the last time you were on.
He was
on
Afro guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on twice, dude.
I know.
Yeah.
He's a good buddy.
Yeah.
Someone take the Twisted Tea bottle away from Matt, please.
No, let him.
You should be more concerned about the ride home.
I think they're connected. I think they're pretty much intertwined.
Aw. I heard that, and I don't even have the headphones.
What else? What else you got?
Jack Swagger beat Tyson Kidd.
Whoop-de-damn-doo. You know what? I heard that was a decent match.
No, how could it not be? Tyson Kidd's amazing.
Here's the problem. Tyson Kidd isn't on technically really the main roster anymore.
He's on Total Divas, which makes him on the main roster.
Which means nobody gives a shit, because the bimbos that watch Total Divas are not wrestling fans. They just like watching hot women argue and fight all the time.
Can I ask you a question?
What's up?
Have you ever watched Total Divas?
Yeah.
Do you get sucked into like a Total Diva marathon like I
do? Not a marathon, but I will watch it. I put it on at work. They have a TV in the kitchen at work, and all they ever have on is like CNN or Bloomberg. I said, fuck this. Total Divas was on the other morning. I started watching the Bellas arguing over Daniel Bryan and some shit. They were going to buy like a washing machine.
That's good television.
It was better than watching the fucking news. I don't give a shit about ISIS and fucking anymore.
I'll tell you what. You fucking pop on that Total Divas.
Adam, do you watch this?
I watched some of the first season. That was it.
I get sucked. If it's on, like, back to back and there's nothing on and I just am a lazy fuck.
Dude, you subscribe to the network. Why would you watch that?
Because it's on the network.
Oh.
No,
because
I gotta plug the HDMI cable into the
poor
TV
you.
And then the
you
laptops.
Have just
on
fucking
the other
open
side.
The laptop.
Nah, because I'm gonna get all gook eyed if I watch it on the laptop.
All right,
really?
Moving on with Raw.
Oh, that's where Kevin draws the line.
No, it had nothing to do with Gook Eyes.
I can say that.
It had nothing to do with it.
Why? Because you're Chinese? Your girlfriend is of the round. Of
there
not
you
round
go.
Eye. There
See,
you
dude,
go.
You had
fiance. I'm learning.
You had fucking Torito versus Hornswoggle.
Keep it up. I'm a nigga.
With the gator. And the
He's fucking dressing like an alligator.
Yeah.
But let me say this. Hats off to the crowd in Brooklyn for chanting, "This is stupid."
They did?
They chanted that loud. And
from the get-go?
It was pretty close to the beginning.
Did Michael Cole no-sell it?
King did. King tried to play it off. He was like, this is what? And then Cole was just like, That was awesome. That was awesome. Like, Nicole,
sounds like the
better.
14-year-old girl Lawler showed his dick to. She went, this is what?
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. The poor fucking Hornswoggle. He's a midget. Yeah,
the
I'm going to say midget.
Poor fucking Hornswoggle.
And they fucking make him dress up like an alligator. He's got to wrestle a fucking midget bull. Come on, just give the guy a break. Just let him be a fucking
in
tiny dude.
Like that to make it really
let him wrestle the fucking the corpse of Little Beaver and just get it over with.
Little Beaver.
All right.
That's what AJ Lee calls her privates.
She can call
whoa,
them
whoa,
whatever
wait a second.
She wants.
What? This is something that we got to talk about.
What?
Your girlfriend.
AJ Lee?
Yeah, you guys still together?
No, we broke up.
Oh, you broke up? Why'd you break up?
She went and like married some, I don't know.
Straight edge guy?
He's like some straight edge guy that doesn't have a job. But he walked out on his job and shit. Whatever. Whatever, guys.
Do you blame him?
I mean,
for stealing his wife?
Yeah. No, for walking out on his job.
Oh, no. But I don't know what he did. I mean, I don't know. Whoever.
I took your woman, Adam.
Whatever he is.
Where
had
I come
sex
from.
With a 14-year-old Stephanie McMahon.
Union Town don't play that shit.
No, we don't. It's not you two.
She's you know what's funny is that she's from Union City, New Jersey. And you're, it was meant to be, dude.
I know.
No, wasn't she married the other guy?
Nope. That won't last.
Did you get her after Jay Lethal fucked that shit up?
Yeah, it was after.
Ugh, that must have been like
the Caroline's Comedy Club.
Must have been like throwing a hot dog down the Lincoln Tunnel.
Just for the record, Adam did not have sex with AJ Lee.
Who? What?
Well, we could just say that.
We could just say that he did.
We could just say that.
I like it.
But people are listening.
That's true. So,
probably
Jesus,
not anymore,
dying.
But they are. All right.
Listen, if they stuck around for Yuha Nation buying panties from a vending machine, they're listening to this.
He didn't admit he buys panties.
I thought he did.
Well, he said he knew of it.
Well, you have to go back and listen if you missed it, just like I did.
All right, so we had Alicia Fox and Paige versus Adam's ex, AJ Lee, and the pointing, spasmatic klepto, Emma, who is still on the roster.
I was happy to see her pop up.
Yeah?
Shit, I don't have Emma's music on here. That sucks.
Any thoughts on the Diva Division, Adam?
Other than AJ and Paige, it's shit.
All right.
I miss Karma. I can't believe I'm saying that.
She has a baby,
I'd love
brown
to see
baby.
Karma back.
All right, wait, like, hold on, because you're about to get like 45 seconds worth of black voice.
Oh, hey guys, how's it going? What are you doing? Why are you unplugging and plugging that thing? You're killing me, dude. Wait, Matt's playing Karma's music. Dude, you can't do that, dude. You got to tell me. I've got to mute it on the board.
Oh, sorry, I got it. You're good.
Oh, Jesus.
Go ahead, go about your business.
All right, so all
right,
nothing to see here.
I got
to
go.
Thank you.
There it is. Dance party. Get it, Adam. Get it, Adam. Yeah, boop. Ba-doop, ba-boop, ba-boop.
I have done that a lot in the streets of New York City, being drunk.
Poking people's eyes. You have. We do that tomorrow night?
Probably.
All right. Me and Adam are going
to
dance.
Stay away from Adam. He likes to super kick and poke people.
Me and Adam tomorrow night in New York after the great show at the Old Man Hustle. We're going to dance around like Emma and super kick people in the streets of New York.
Is that like Paul Heyman's grandfather owns that place?
Old Man Hustle.
Nice. Think about that.
That's pretty good. All
right, Did I ever tell you about the time I saw Paul Heyman's father in court?
No.
Oh, I got to tell you this story.
All
right. So I'm a lawyer, right? I used to be a lawyer in New York City, like actually like going to court like every day like a schmuck. And we used to go to intake part in the Bronx. Up at the, you know, the courthouse you used to be able to see from the back of Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
Anytime somebody hit a home run, that big square building in the back. That's aside the point. So I'm in court one day, and there's this real old guy. Thank you. That's awesome. And he's got – you can't hear that. He's playing Law & Order. There's this old guy. He's wearing an ECW windbreaker. And Paul Heyman's always talked about how his father's a lawyer, and he always got sued for shit, and his father always helped him out. On the front of the windbreaker, the ECW old school logo windbreaker, it said El Abogado engraved. It was Paul Heyman's father.
That's awesome.
That means lawyer in Espanol.
And now you know.
OC.
And knowings have to battle. Go, Joe.
All right, let's get through Raw. I got news to get to before we wrap this shit up.
Yeah, this is
And we
brutal.
Got plugs to do, too.
Miz, Sandow gimmick still going on, which we talked about earlier.
I came to play.
Miz,
greatest entrance music.
I think Miz won that match,
But it
actually.
Pisses me off. I cannot believe not one fucking asshole at WWE Creative, when they do the quiet on the set, can I have quiet on the set, why they won't replace Awesome with action if he's supposed to be this movie star. That would have been a nice little touch.
That's not bad. Because he doesn't even use the saying anymore. He doesn't even use I'm the Miz and I'm Awesome.
I do kind of like the watch the face gimmick. I think that's awesome.
Dude,
everyone knows I'm the biggest Miz fan on the planet. So I'm just not a huge fan of the Sandow pairing yet. It's growing on me little by little.
They're going to just become a tag team eventually. Eventually.
I don't know. How do you feel about that, Adam?
I mean, it's better than what Sandow was doing.
I guess you're right about that. But I guess it's to the point where Miz is now is not a priority anymore, and Sandow is not a priority anymore.
And of course,
the Wyatts, however, are going to be a priority, breaking them up. And
those videos are awesome to promote.
Those videos were blatantly ripped off.
Yeah, I wonder where they get their ideas from. Yeah. Eddie.
Yeah. So so that's why I wish he was here, because I really wanted to talk more about that with him. But
the only thing that kills me, though, to touch on the Miz again, Sheamus, U.S. champ, loses.
Right.
More 50-50, mid-card champions lose. Belts have no credibility. They're flip-flopping the guys that are going against each other for what titles.
But yeah, Cesaro's in a match with Ziggler while...
It's gonna wind up being a fatal four-way, and they're gonna unify the belts, and that's gonna be the end of it.
All right,
they're gonna have to.
Adam,
you got one world champion. You might as well have one undercard title and be done with it.
Yeah.
Go back to old school.
And you know what? With the emergence of NXT, now I'm not too opposed to that.
Yeah, because they got their own belts, and there's more shit going on there. It's almost like the Attitude Era, where there's just too many belts going around.
Yeah, but that was awesome.
It was for about a month.
We talked about that too.
WWF tag teams going for the WCW belt. It was like too much. Dude, you had the U.S., Intercontinental, European titles, and the Hardcore belt, and the Cruiserweight, and the Light Heavyweight, two sets of tag teams, two sets of world titles.
Ugh. Everything was mirrored, basically, except for the television title.
I just want the Hardcore title back.
I would go for that again. 24/7 rule, that was fucking hysterical.
Give a lot of people something to do.
Dude, they had a fight at Newark Airport where the belt changed like four times on the carousels.
Yeah. Throw that on main event. I'll watch that.
Dude, the main event show for an hour, all it is the Hardcore title being defended.
That would be fun.
Like the champ gets in a cab, goes to a different location, and when he gets out, somebody's waiting there and fucking clotheslines him out of the car.
Adam, you got to the network, right?
I do.
So
$9.99.
What's your go to? Like if you're bored and you go to the on demand section, what do you watch?
For the longest time I was watching Legends House.
Yes. Awesome show.
I want that to come back. They said they might not bring it back.
Me too.
They have to bring it back. I thought they're not bringing it back.
I want them to bring it back. No, I'm saying I agree with Adam.
Yeah, I love Legends House.
All right, so Miz, yada yada. I mean, we don't have to talk fucking Raw anymore.
Main event was Cena on his own. Although Ambrose coming out with the hot dog cart was kind of funny.
That was cool.
I thought it was cool as hell.
I watched him go on the subway.
Because he's fucking sick, and that's something that he would do.
And he had at first I thought the whole mustard and ketchup and the holster thing was a little much, but then when he actually got him in the face and made Randy Orton look like an Uso, I thought that was actually kind of funny. He actually had face paint on him.
In your face.
Do you think that they did that as... Would you put, obviously, it's not in the level as like the beer truck or the milk truck, but do you think that that's where they were going with it?
It's Dirty Kinda. Dogs. Dirty Dogs for New York.
Yeah.
That's why they did it.
I do like that, you know, Dean Ambrose is kind of the main thing right now.
I agree with that 100%, which actually reminds me, Roman Reigns, they did an interview. I didn't actually see that.
My peepee's feeling better.
That's pretty much what he said. That is exactly. It was weird. They had a technical difficulty in like, Cole started with one question.
Cole's like, how's your dick?
Yeah, and then there was like, Reigns had like this big long thing, and then there was a pause, and Cole didn't say anything, and then Reigns was just like, yeah, just, you know, and he said something else. So it was, they fucked up somewhere along the line.
Like, my dick is hurting.
What message did they get across in the whole promo? That he's coming back? That, what was it?
It was the same shit.
It was just nothing?
His dick is going to be harder than ever.
So train harder, come back and kick ass. I'm doing dick ups.
Yes.
So if I had sat down and I'd watched Raw and they start hyping this fucking atrocious main event, how many times do we have to see John Cena wrestle in a fucking handicap match?
Well, it was originally supposed to be 2-on-3.
I don't get it.
For you to love him.
I don't want to love him.
You have to.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of the whole, authority throwing their weight around shit.
I don't mind them throwing their weight around, but
fucking... Done with it, dude.
Just drag some fucking... Dude, some middle card guy in so the authority can just annihilate them and be like, oh, is that all you have? And then Jerkoff can run down and try and save the day and they can beat him down. I don't need to see John Cena versus Kane, Randy Orton. Like, enough. I've seen enough John Cena and Kane matches, John Cena-Randy Orton matches in my life to fucking fill the Grand Canyon. I don't need it anymore.
But you're going to get
it. I can't disagree with that.
I can't. It doesn't, my brain doesn't process it.
It's like a rape. It's going to happen.
Jesus.
Just accept it. He's going to keep coming.
Holy shit.
And you're going to be like, that's enough. That's enough. And he's like, no.
And it's all my own fault. Yeah. I shouldn't have wore that shirt that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to blame yourself.
You've been asking for it for 10 years when you want a ruthless aggression. And there it is.
I want an AA right in my AA.
Now you know how I feel for the past year without my Drew Gulak shirt.
I just, ooh, good callback.
There it is.
I just don't get it.
You know, it's like he's raping me, and you guys high-fived him by taking those shirts while he was doing it. Mm. You know, I feel sold out.
Nah, we didn't
a good high-five, though.
Good high-five. It's a
matter I wouldn't know. Before the only clapping I hear is a pair of testes against my fucking backside.
What was that, Adam?
I was going to say it's a matter of time before Cena gets those fucking never-give-up towels in pink for this month.
I'm sure he's got them already.
Oh, I think he does.
Go to WWEshop.com. I bet you they're there.
I bet they actually are there.
Well, we have our own pink merchandise as well.
Yes, pre-orders are over. If you missed out, it's not too late. We will have some sizes left on hand. Please go to shinywizards.com/kickcancer for more details and ordering information.
We will not sell you John Cena merchandise.
No.
Fucking John Cena.
But if you don't hurry up, we may have to ship you the wrong size.
All right, so let's go over news and...
Okay, I'm going to save my first news item for last because I think we might be closing the show with that one. So let's move on. Apparently, United Airlines lost Dolph Ziggler's luggage, which included the Intercontinental belt. And he had a quick this and that on Twitter about his luggage getting lost and that he didn't have his belt with him. But apparently, he showed up with the belt last night.
It's probably a replica.
Or did he come out with the Jamar belt as opposed to the Millican belt? I didn't see it.
I have no idea. They probably didn't focus a whole lot of time on it. It's whatever. They lost his belt. It's not a big deal.
Right, I'll have to check out the footage anyway. Paige was at Wizard World Comic Con, and somebody asked her relationship status, and she said she's painfully single.
Uh-oh.
I did read that.
Aww.
Adam.
Poor Paige.
I did read that.
Yeah,
that,
of course.
Adam, that has you and Twitter written all over it. Get on that.
And let me tell you something, folks. Don't think because she's Paige that she's beyond approach.
Reproach, you mean?
Approach, reproach. I guess it's the same thing.
No, beyond reproach is like you're so far.
No, beyond approach means that you're afraid to walk up to her, right?
Oh, I've never heard it put like that.
I don't know. Whatever. Don't be afraid, folks. Our buddy, the Mega Powers, approached Renee Young like a creepo in Bryant Park. And even though she turned him down, they had a pleasant conversation. So
what, he asked her out?
Yeah, you didn't hear the story?
I knew that he met Renee Young. I didn't know that he fucking...
Oh, yeah, dude. He put
her
right on Front
out.
Street. He's like, hey, let's get a cup of coffee. And she's like, no, I'm married or she's got a fiance or something.
Harsh.
And it's Dean Ambrose.
Is she really?
Is it?
That's what I read, that Renee Young and Dean Ambrose
are
a thing.
Oh, my God. He walks into the bedroom like he did on Raw. And he's
with the hot dog cart?
No, two dildos in his pockets.
That's what I read. I think that's true. I don't know if
true or not. I've never seen that.
I've read it a couple times.
It's possible. It's definitely possible.
Apparently, Unbreakable Michael Elgin was broken by Ring of Honor when they booked him for a show this weekend, and he said, fuck you, I quit.
Whoa.
Yeah, Matt, what's up with the Elgin?
Your boy Michael Elgin walked on Ring of Honor, although people are calling it a work. Apparently, he's done.
I think that's a work written all over it. They did the thing with Matt Taven, and now he's back with the Kingdom. They did the thing with ACH where he missed his flight for his TV title match against Jay Lethal at the last iPay-per-view. And now Elgin loses the belt to Briscoe, and then he gets stranded in Canada. I think it's just a whole big work. I hope it is.
All right.
Just to give him time off to try out for baseball?
No, I think it's just he was the champ. He lost. He got stranded in Canada. It's not like it's been like low-key news. Like,
yeah, it's been around.
It's been all over the place, so why not turn it into a storyline?
Fair enough.
Bruno Sammartino turned 79 this week, and unfortunately I'm not going to get a chance to meet him on October 25th in Hasbrook Heights because he pulled out of the autograph signing. An autograph signing which includes Hulk Hogan, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock, and a whole bunch of the 94 New York Rangers. Oh. So if you're in the Hasbrook Heights area, check into that. I think it's MAB something or other.
Celebrities.
MAB-celebrities.com.
MOUSC.
Let me see. Teddy Hart, Jesus. Teddy Long stealing a play from the book of Big Papa Pump, Apparently, he was the Viagra hookup in the locker room for a long time in WWE.
I read that, yeah.
Yeah, so he was selling pills, and he said, I sold them because I can. That's going to be on his new shoot interview with Kayfabe Commentaries.
That's almost an answer like Earl Hebner. I was at an event, and someone yelled out, Hebner, why'd you screw Brett? And he went, for the money. And he did it just like that. And that was before Vince started doing the money.
I guess he's got to play it off. I mean, what else can he do?
After this much time, I mean.
Apparently, as soon as he counted the three and he was in the locker room, he jumped in a car and took off back to his hotel.
I don't blame him.
Fucking ran out of Dodge, dude.
I'm sure he felt like fucking shit.
Well, they all did.
Holla.
Probably none worse than Sean when he was lying to Bret Hart's awful wife's face.
He was a fucking pillhead back there.
Yeah,
fuck him.
God bless him.
I hate Shawn Michaels and his fucking one eye.
Apparently.
It's now 99.2% complete.
Let me see. Stone Cold, it was reported that he confirmed that he was prepping for his return. And somebody had quoted him saying, I'm trying to get back in shape for a comeback. But I was listening to his recent episode of the Stone Cold podcast, the family-friendly one, and he actually said he's not planning a comeback.
No.
So, I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
There were reports that he was going to take a larger role, maybe not a wrestling role, but a larger role in the company in 2015. Jim Ross kind of put the kibosh on that, saying that he was not. Coming back, not planning a return, but I'm sure appearances are going to be a plenty because he has Redneck and the other thing that he's got going on the country music channel.
His podcast for 15 minutes, he was driving, and it was just him yelling at people. I'm at the red light. I'm three, and this is the family friendly one, so he can't curse. He's like, I'm at the red light. I'm three cars back in the right lane, and this guy on a bicycle is riding back and forth across the lanes instead of just stopping for the red light. He's like, come on, lady, I'm letting you in. Are you gonna get over? The whole time, he called somebody a piece of shit, and then he went on for 5 minutes asking people to tell him whether or not that's appropriate for the family friendly version of his show.
Sure.
He's a hot mess, dude. It's hilarious.
Time and money, that's what you get.
I bet you if we reached out to him and said, Steve, next time you feel like doing a show on your own, feel free to reach out to us. We're professionals. We'd be happy to shoot the shit with you about anything.
I've been trying.
Couldn't hurt.
For Austin for a year.
We almost had him at one point, didn't we?
Almost. CMT.
Pull back the curtain.
CMT could not come through for us.
We tried. Matt tries, folks. You don't even know half the stories.
It's not about me.
Like Jimmy Hart a few weeks ago.
That was funny.
And that's what turned into the Baza line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was pissed. We missed the call.
What else you got?
Last bit of news before I get to the news for the closer. But apparently Rey Mysterio appeared at the Lucha Underground show, and WWE mad at him for that.
Cares.
He's still under contract?
Yeah, supposedly.
So
he
went to another show. Who cares?
Apparently they do because they're angry.
Ugh. Fuck him. WWE
don't care
contracted can... talent shows up at other indie shows all the time.
Look, whatever. Ray's done, dude. He's hurt beyond repair. They might as well just fucking let him go, dude. Let him go be whatever he wants to be.
The army.
He's not going to wrestle anymore.
Yeah, he will.
He's going to pull a Sid. He's going to fucking dislocate his legs when he's jumping off the ropes.
That's right. Does anybody honestly miss Rey Mysterio, Adam?
I don't.
We didn't at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that poor slob.
I remember.
They did that to him on purpose.
I hope what they do this year is number 30 comes out, and it's Rey Mysterio's music, and it's Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio match.
Well, Daniel Bryan and a mat.
Or it's Dean Malenko. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Why Dean Malenko?
You don't remember when he did that to Jericho? He dressed up. Who did he dress up as? La Parca?
No, Damien. No, Halloween. Halloween. It was the guy with the Halloween thing.
La Parca?
No, it wasn't La Parca. It was the guy with the orange. Basically, he had the Ciclope. It was Ciclope.
Was it Ciclope?
Yep.
Oh. He dressed up like a luchador, and he beat Jericho for the Cruiserweight belt, and then he unmasked, and the fucking place went bananas.
That's when it was the last two were him and Juventud Guerrero. Juventud Guerrero jumped over the rope on himself, by himself without getting eliminated, shook Dean Malenko's hand. Dean Malenko took off the mask. Dean Malenko's number one contender for Chris Jericho.
That was it.
Yep. I think it was Ciclope, because he dressed all in orange and black like a pumpkin, but he had the one eye right up here. Pretty
Shawn
sure
Michaels' one eye.
Ooh.
I think it's time for plugs, Matthew.
Oh, I was going to ask if you knew there was a pay-per-view this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hell,
what,
in,
Hell
Cell.
In a Cell?
No, Bound for Glory.
Oh, that's right.
They still do pay-per-views in TNA?
It's in Japan.
I'm trying to find the card, and I can't find shit.
Because it's stupid.
Well, then I'll start doing the plugs. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast at ShiningWizards.com. We are on the Facebook, Shining Wizards. We are on Twitter, at Wizards Podcast. We have a Gmail account, WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. We have very few of our Kick logo shirts. We have very few of our Kick cancer shirts. For these and all of our merchandise, head on over to ShiningWizards.com/merch or ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for all of our SWN shirts and our swank SW logo shirt as well. We are part of the network. We know all the shows. We mentioned them at the beginning, so go check those guys out.
I found the card.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if I would buy this.
Well, is that what it says for on their official website?
Yes.
Bound for Glory, TNA.
Do you want some Bound for Glory music?
Please. First of all,
here we go.
Wait, you're gonna give us six pay per views a year.
Quack.
No, stop with the quack like a duck. See, this is where you're losing it here, buddy. Come on. You go 6 pay per views a year. You want to see the world title defended, right?
Nope.
Right. This is where they fuck themselves, because they do all these title changes at these TV
tapings.
I
don't fuck myself.
Like, how far in advance have they taped? It's obviously past Bound for Glory, because there's no World Heavyweight Championship match on here. Bobby Roode nor Bobby Lashley are on the card.
Right.
Samoa Joe defends the X Division Championship against Low-Ki and Kaz Hayashi.
There's a name from the past.
I guess I can get behind that. Muda and Tajiri against James Storm and Sonata.
I like that.
Muda's so fucking old.
Doesn't matter. I like the program. We talked before about how we like what they're doing. So if they do it right, I like that.
But to see, like, Muda did Wrestle Kingdom 8 in like a six-man tag match. Like, he comes in, he hits the Shining Wizards, he does the match.
Shining Wizard!
Like, that's it. Like, that doesn't... I'm not paying...
How much is it?
I don't know, $30.
It's not $9.99, Adam. You know that.
Ethan Carter III against Royada Hama.
No interest. Go ahead.
No clue. Team 3D against Abyss and Tommy Dreamer.
Abyss is back?
Tommy Dreamer went to Japan?
They're going to
Japan.
What kind
of orgies he's going to have?
Kazuma Sakamoto against MVP.
Suck your father.
Come on. Keep talking.
Manic versus Tanaka.
Wait, Masato Tanaka?
No. Minoru
Pat Tanaka?
Minoru?
Tatanka.
Minoru.
Yeah,
Tatanka.
It's actually pronounced Tatanka.
Tatanka.
Thanks,
Buffalo.
Adam.
And then Havoc against Velvet Sky for the Knockout Championship, but we already know Havoc retains because she drops the title at TV tapings already.
Spoiler She's alert. Going over there because Bully Ray's getting inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Where is the main event?
It's in your mind.
What's your name?
No,
What's
seriously. Where's the selling point for
this?
I'd
buy it for
nothing.
Ethan Carter III.
There's nothing. Let's stop talking about it because there's nothing.
That's fucking retarded. It really is.
I don't know what to say. I'm just cruising to Macklemore.
I see that. I don't know why you have this.
I'm going to get some dance.
Fucking idiot.
Only got $20 in my pocket.
All right.
God,
I ain't buying TNA. This is fucking awful.
I would like, if anybody decides they're going to order the pay-per-view, I really would like you to call the hotline.
Yes!
Like, seriously, if you're going to sit there and you're going to spend your hard-earned money on whatever I just read.
This.
I really want to hear about it. I'm off Sunday night. I'm almost tempted to do it and set up all the stuff in the apartment and just have you guys come over.
The lotion.
Well, me and Adam will be busy because we'll be telling the funnies on Sunday night.
Oh, we got a plug from Kevin Garifo.
Adam Lucidi. We'll be at Tyrannies in Montclair.
Nice.
Adam will be featured in that show. I'll probably just be running around doing my normal stuff. But Adam Lucidi, myself and him will be at Old Man Hustle tomorrow night on Essex Street. I'm not sure the exact address. 39 Essex Street?
Something like that.
Something like that.
It's Old Man Hustle.
With the great Giannis Papas,
nice.
Very lot of other funny comics who I'm looking forward to working with.
Nigel Fullerton.
Joanne Filan.
Joanne Filan, Chrissy Cello.
Nigel. Oh, we said him.
Yeah, Nigel will be there.
Joe Conklin? Is that a
Joe Cocker?
Joseph Conklin.
What
yeah, yeah.
would you
and
do?
Someone,
and then Mike Salona.
And then Mike Salona, who mm-hmm. thank you very much for putting me on the show. It's going to be a great time. And then Thursday night, guys, the main event, the reason why we had him in our studio tonight, Adam Lucidi will be making his stand-up comedy television debut Thursday night, 10 p.m. on Access TV. That's ASX TV. Check your local listings.
With Gallagher.
With Gallagher, by the way.
Or Gallagher, too.
Or Gallagher, too.
Maybe both.
Ooh. If you tune in and you Imagine see Gallagher, you're on the right. Don't think that you know you have to change the channel. You're on the right channel.
Who else is on that? And do you know who else is on that show?
I know Catherine Williams is on it, and I don't know. I'm not sure the other two
comics.
All right,
but that Adam Lucidi is the main reason to tune into that. And then, like I said, we'll be back on Sunday on my home turf in Montclair. Adam Lucidi. Follow him on Twitter. Adam Lucidi, L-U-C-I-D-I, on the Twitter machine. He's the best live raw tweeter in the business, and he's hysterical. So follow him on Twitter.
You.
Adam, thank you very much for putting up with us for 2.5 hours.
This was fun. I'm coming back.
You
Please.
Definitely got to come
more
back,
More than
dude.
Welcome.
I'm
Always.
Back for sure.
Awesome.
We'll get you. I got a Drew Gulak t-shirt in the car for you. Suck a dick.
You. Everyone laughs. No, really. Oh, wait. You're getting that. Sorry,
you know
Eddie.
Let me just say, I may be 40 years old, but in the attic, I still got a size 12 pair of patent black leather boots.
That's right. He used to wrestle.
I've got knee pads.
I thought you were going to say you still have a pair of Jenko jeans, and I was going to be like, I do too.
Cavaricci's, bro. Get it right. I'm old school. I had the fucking turtleneck with the Playboy tag on my Figaro chain.
Oh, God.
Never wore your car, though.
Oh!
What a
Gulick!
What a fucking dickhead.
I got a Gulick shirt.
There it is. Adam's gonna take a
you know,
picture of himself.
My asshole's still leaking.
That.
I might need one of those shirts to wipe it.
All guests of the Shining Wizards podcast are presented with a t-shirt from Mr. Drew Gulak. Go to his t-shirt site.
Fuck you!
ProWrestlingTees.com /
Drew Gulak / Drew Gulak.
Fuck him.
Drew Gulak.
I should have bought it from there. Give me some
volume. I got plugs.
All right.
Two more plugs before we start to wrap this up. ProWrestlingSyndicate.com at ProWrestSyndicate. P-R-O-W-E-S Syndicate
W-E-S?
On Twitter.
Wes?
W-R-E-S, sorry.
Just type in Pro Wrestling Syndicate. You'll find
there
it.
There you go. Pro Wrestling. Jesus.
ProWrestlingSyndicate.com 1031 is their next big event headlined by a world title match. I believe it is Mario Bocara versus the Monster Abyss. You're going to see
Falaba against Homicide.
Falaba versus Homicide.
The Reynolds
check.
Brothers against the Wolves.
The Wolves, true.
Kevin Matthews and the Wizard against Tyler Rex.
Yes.
And,
Kevin
Brian
Matthews
Myers.
And a mystery partner versus Tyler Rex and Kurt Hawk, the artist formerly known as Kurt Hawkins, a.k.a. our friend Brian Myers.
Harlem Heat, DDP.
Harlem Heat will be there.
Bonesaw, Danny Moff, Larry
Ooh.
Johnson.
Harlem Heat?
We're coming for you, nigga.
Step by step star Sasha Mitchell
will be in the house judging a Halloween costume contest.
Which one is that?
That's Cody, cousin Cody that lived in the van.
No, you're not. No.
If it was gonna be that Alex chick, I'm going.
Can
you
quack?
You should still go. There's a Halloween 2's Michael Myers star Dick Warlock will be there.
Yes, he will.
What a name that is, Dick Warlock.
Reality check versus the
bodies?
Heavenly Bodies in nice. A tornado tag match with Shining Edward Jackson at ringside.
Costume contest, walkthrough haunt, goodie bags, and more. ProWrestlingSyndicate.com every Monday night after Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Mayhem.
It is Monday Night Mayhem, yes.
Brand new episode shows every Monday night, 11 p.m. When you're tired of Raw and the bullshit and the John Cena, just go to ProWrestlingSyndicate.com.
And this past Monday, Kevin Matthews against Jeff Jarrett.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they
it's
threw
a great
back,
match.
They threw back to, a Jack Evans tag match, right?
Jack Evans, Teddy Hart.
Yes.
Match.
Great match, by the way.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
So Dragon Shinron is featured as well. So go to Pro Wrestling Syndicate, check out Monday Night Mayhem.
Who else are we plugging?
Go to their GoFundMe. But I mean, they're plugging away every day, every couple of nickels and dimes they help. So
nipples and dimes?
Nickels, dick.
Oh. Nipples and badges.
All right. Nickels and dicks? What?
Check them out. Smash Wrestling, our friends to the north, smash-wrestling.com. If you go to the website right now, you get a free digital download of Rival Schools 2014. Follow them on Twitter at Smash Wrestling.
Smash-Smash?
No,
yeah, Smash Wrestling.
At Twitter is
My
at
bad.
Smash Wrestling.
Sunday, October 26th. This is Smash. Their second anniversary show.
Speaking of smashed.
No, I'm not smashed. Their second anniversary show, doors at 2, bell time at
Kevin's
3.
Kevin's wondering how he's getting home tonight.
I'm pretty
sure. I still
got
to go to an open mic, so let's hurry this up.
Yeah, come on, dude, really. Fuck you. You're wearing a Drew Gulak shirt. You're going to take shit and like
That's your problem. Smash Wrestling Championship, Matt Cross defends against Gregory Iron. Scotty O'Shea takes on Brent Banks. Josh Alexander takes on Johnny Gargano and more. And then our boys down at WildcatSports.com, Luke Hawks, the Southern yep. Stomper. November 8th, they have a big show. Bob Holly, Booker T. Check them out at WildcatSports.com. Cat spelled with a K. Those are our plugs.
There it is.
It's a long one.
Our final bit of news for the evening, Matthew, if you're queued up.
I am.
Apparently, following in the footsteps of one Macho Man Randy Savage, Brian Christopher, a.k.a. Grandmaster Sexay, has put out a country rap album. It's called Bringin' Sexay Back, and this is one of the hits. It's a Memphis thing.
We really have to listen to this?
Listen, dude, it's oral gold.
Turn it up. The one and only fabulous
Jackie Fargo. Is he on drugs when he did this?
Is he not on drugs?
Dude, he just referenced Jackie Fargo and Yamamoto. Monday night where
wrestling was done right. I could do this.
The album's available on iTunes.
Kamala's Push It and Pull It is better.
Push
than
it!
I don't know if that's Kamala.
This is awful.
Yeah, alright.
Good night, everyone.
Peace.
Close with something different.
No.
Yes. See you later. Thank you to guest Yuha Nation. Thank you to Adam Lucidi.
Thank you.
Thank
guys.
You to you for sitting through this 2+ hour show.
Hey, you know who we didn't mention tonight?
Who?
Sting.
Good night, everyone.
Ugh. You really are podcast cancer.
Where's my shirt, Gulak?
Kevin's so disappointed. He's like angry. Look
better have my shirt next week or there's going to be hell to pay, damn it.
This video is fantastic.